Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight, and good to be with you. It's Tuesday night. All right, Wednesday night, we pray and prophesy over every person that calls in. So make sure and get in on that night. You can also call in early at 8:45. Show starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can call in 15 minutes early. It allows you to do that. Call the number 319-527-6737. All right? Yeah, there you go. So but tonight is not Wednesday. It is Tuesday. And good to be with you tonight. Hope you're all doing well. We're here to do whatever the Lord leads us to do. Pray for you, minister you, prophesy, talk, share, whatever's going on, just flow with what God's doing. And hopefully giving somebody something that they need, take them through their battle, their struggle, give them answers that will, bring them to the top and show them how to live in the moment, to win, to be victorious. Yeah, the strategies to do that. So they're there. We're going to find them. And God's going to reveal them to us, so it's going to be amazing. All right, so good to be with you tonight. Yeah, there's so much happening. I just really into this thing right now about, God preparing a table for us in the midst of our enemies. It's like it's a new revelation God's given me, a new understanding. I think to prepare us for the future, number one. Number two, it's just cool to know that, sometimes God sets you up with your enemies to bless you, right? Not to hurt you, not to wound you, not to take you down or embarrass you, unless you need to be humble for a season. But he will use them to sharpen you, to make you cry out, to bring the best that God has put into you, the gifts that God has given you. I think that's a lot of it. And hang on a second, let me go somewhere. I'll be right. I'm gonna look up a scripture, I'll be right there. What? We're going to go there for a moment. See where we're heading here. Okay, so we know Joseph was, had a great dream from God. God gave him two dreams, and I think the dreams were more revealing the gifts that he had, the gifting to rise above his brothers. Like the first dream he had, dream vision he had was that his brothers, 11 of them, were going to bow down to him or honor him. It's really not worship, it's about honor. They would honor him, but he would be the one who would be chosen by God. And so, the reason God was showing him that, one of the reasons was because Joseph had been giving some gifts to do some certain things. But in order for those gifts to, manifest themselves or to be developed, sometimes you have to be put in circumstances that cause you to have to activate them or use them or, somehow, dig deep. And digging deep sometimes is only done through suffering and pain and heartache and trouble and a constant irritation. I think it's like with Paul the Apostle giving a thorn in the flesh. I think it was to humble him and also to cause him to cry to God. And for God to give him, deeper revelation, which he got a lot of, deeper revelation from the Father. And he did. And he became very wise. He wrote most of the New Testament, which is very interesting, that people that suffer a lot tend to be raised up So Joseph, the same thing with Joseph. Joseph was given a dream. He had two dreams. And he was around, 16, 17 years old, something like that. In Genesis, 39. We can look at it just for a second. Genesis 39 talks about when Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and an Egyptian named Potiphar, verse 1, the court official, he was in the court of Pharaoh, and chief of the guard, which was, pretty big deal, bought him from the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites are the ones who paid his brothers, however many shekels it was, I don't remember, but sold him out. And so the Ishmaelites are taking him and selling him to Potiphar, who is in the king's court. He's an official in the king, in Pharaoh's, not the king, Pharaoh's court, and a chief of the guards, which tells you that, whatever chief of the guards was exactly, it kind of speaks for itself. But what was about to happen was that first God reveals the great things that he's going to have you do, and then you think, it's just going to happen. You're just going to go to the top, it's going to be sweet, it's going to be nice, it's going to be easy, because God's doing it, right? But no, that's not what happens. He's a young man, and the first thing he does is he has him betrayed by his own family. I mean, what a devastating thing to happen to somebody, betrayed basically by your own brothers, not his father. His mother was dead, but his brothers, didn't like him. So they sold him out. It was really a really big thing for him. And so, God was with Joseph. That's the really important thing. And as a result of that, Joseph became very successful and was put over the house of his master, the Egyptians. And so, he was master over everything. He just rose to the top, but it was too much suffering. He was dealing the whole time he was rising to the top among the Egyptians, and the house of his, owner, his master. He was thinking, and having to deal with, I'm here because my brother sold me out. I mean, he had it in the back of his mind. The whole time. And I think sometimes to bury the pain, he would bury himself in his work. And therefore, he just learned how to use what he had. But had he not been through that difficult situation, he wouldn't have been digging deep to be successful. So wherever he went, he felt like, well, I'm not successful among my family, right? I'm supposed to be successful. I'm not successful with my family. My family rejected me. My family threw me out. So now what do I do? So he had this drive to be successful because God showed him, you're going to be successful. That's what the dream is all about. Dreams tell you basically at what level of success you can attain to. In Joseph's case, it was, being the ruler of the family, and that's a pretty big deal over Israel. It was a big deal with God, big deal with his own father, Jacob. So he was being put in a big test. What was the test for? To learn how to forgive, learn how to, examine himself and see if he could have shared his dreams a little bit better than what he did, and kind of reevaluating everything. And so the whole time he's a family man. He loved his family. He loved his father. His father and him were really close. And so he's dealing with the pain and suffering of being away from his family. And at the same time, this drive to be successful because God had put it in him to rule. And so in order to do that, so what was God doing? He was putting him in, he was, first of all, created a great pain within him from his family. And then in the loss of his father's relationship, had to be devastating. I mean, him and his father were really close. You ever been close, really close to somebody who really loved you and adored you, and all of a sudden you're gone, or they're gone, and it's horrible. It's devastating. It's just unimaginable. And so all this God was allowing in him, you'd think if God was a good daddy, he wouldn't be doing it to his own kid, right? But God doesn't think like good men think. God thinks like God. He knows what Joseph needed, he knew that the high level gifting God put within him, and so he needed some sharpening. He needed some pain and suffering, and to bring that out. You know, I've heard people lately. You know, I heard Joel Osteen, you know, who's pastor of a really large church there in Houston. And I used to love his dad. His dad was amazing, amazing preacher, and grew that church, his church, you know, pretty big for these days. And then, of course, Joel's taking it bigger. But I heard Joel talk about his story, the things that helped, you know, cause him to want to be successful, because he overheard some of the people in the church saying, you know, Joel will never make it. Joel will never be, you know, like his daddy. And so here he says this himself. He said, and he said, believe it or not, that's the thing that just really got me going. It got me wanting to, you know, show them that, hey, you know, my daddy, you know, was awesome, but, you know, I can do this thing. And so he never preached in his life, never did really any much of anything except run the cameras. And so all of a sudden he's put in a position, right? And what really stirred him up when he heard people in the church, people that were his friends, saying, you know, Joe just doesn't have it. Joe's just not going to make it. I heard him talk about this on his show just recently. And so, you know, also one of the greatest, I'd like to watch tennis lately. I've been watching tennis because I can sit back and relax. And, you know, I just love, you know, just be in the game or not be in the game and just kind of relaxing and, you know, watching, you know, thing going back and forth. And it's really fun. And so this one girl, an African-American girl, really was a new person, you know, kind of showing up in the upper echelon, if you will, of competition, and she was really becoming, you know, successful a little here and a little there. So people were surprised, and so before she went out and won the actual tournament, which nobody expected her to do. In fact, before she went on to do that. To do that game, she was listening, had her earphones on, and she was listening to her phone, listening to some commentators talk about her. And they said, yeah, you know, golf, she just doesn't have it. You know, she just doesn't have what it takes, you know. And she said, this is her own testimony. I heard her talk about this herself. She said, you know what? You know, that just stirred me up. I went out there thinking, they think I can't do this thing. So, friends, sometimes, you know, we think that people need to be babied and told, oh, you're going to be so wonderful, it's going to be so great. You know, I mean, Joseph had his father telling him that, and he had God telling him that, right? He had God telling him, you're going to be great. He had his father telling him, I know you're going to be great, because he made a special quote for him. So he had that in his life. But there was a balance. All of a sudden, God the Father, who also favored him, said, in order to get that gifting to work that's going to be able to rule in Egypt, which Joseph had no clue about, I'm going to have to put some tremendous suffering in him. And so when he went through his suffering, it caused him to have to dig deep in within him, especially with when you have pain and suffering and you're right in the middle of being, you're out and actually in the middle of somewhere where nobody knows you, you don't know them, your daddy's not there who loved you and petted you and loved you and, you know, really watched over you and cared for you and showed you affection and, you know, really favored you. All of a sudden, you don't have that, and you're around people that don't even know you. Oh, it's just the pain of that was just amazing. And that became the thing. You know, it's like his brothers are saying, because his brothers told him, watch this. His brothers told him, I'm going to read the scripture in just a second. His brothers actually told him that, yeah, you know, we'll see when they were putting him in the pit. They were saying, yeah, we'll see, you know, how much your dreams happen, you know, and how you're going to rule over us. And they literally told him, we'll just see how you're going to rule over us. And they took over his life. They bound him up, and they sold him out to the Egyptian, to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sold him out to Potiphar's house, and so he became a slave. You know, and that's what they said to him. They said, you know, yeah, we'll just see how great you are, Joseph. Let me get that scripture for you here so I can find it. Because All right. Okay, here we go. Genesis 37:19. Let's go there. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 37:19. Genesis. I want to read this to you. I want to get this across to you tonight. Genesis 37:18. Okay, let's go there. Here we go. Come on. Computer, hardback, Bible, work. But Joseph sold by his brothers. Here we go. Genesis 37:12. And his brothers went to feed their father's flock. And Israel said to Joseph, Jacob, you know, his father said, are your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? He said, I'm going to send you to them, and then you come and tell me what's going on. So he goes out there to check on his brothers. And so, of course, they weren't there. They were doing something else. They were very much their own kind of people. And so they saw Joseph coming when he found out where they were. And he says, and now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dream. Right? And so they shook Joseph of his many-colored coat, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and of course the pit was empty. And so here we go. I'm coming to you. Yeah, anyway, that was their thinking. They were saying right there in that one verse I read that. It said, we'll just see we shall see what will become of his dreams. And so that's what they did. And they threw him in the pit, and they basically were just going like, yeah, we'll see what happens to your dream. Well, it's the very thing that you would think wouldn't happen, but it was the very thing God orchestrated in him to cause him to have suffering from, you know, people that he was supposed to be successful over. Now he's not going to be successful at all because they got rid of him. So who won that one? His brothers won. So what happened? What did that create in Joseph? A passion to somehow get back and, you know, maybe grow up a little bit. And so he's showing Pharaoh, you know, look, you know, I can really do this stuff. He managed all of his stuff. He was very honest. The Bible says he was a well-built and good-looking person. And so I guess all that helped him a little bit because he was smart and honest and could be trusted with everything. And so, you know, but at the same time, he always had that pain grinding away in him that was kind of like a drill bit, if you will, like when a drill for oil, that drilling down inside him real deep. Because God was wanting to tap into the gifts that he had given him, to the ability he had given. He knew that it's not just going to come naturally. He's going to have to suffer. And so God caused him to suffer for about 14, 15 years. And 13, 14, 15 years, something like that. And so all those years, he's suffering. And that drill bit is drilling down deep. You know, you got to be successful. Going to be successful. I'm called to be successful. I'm called to be successful. So wherever he went, he made sure, and God was with him, of course, that he became successful. So God used the pain, and instead of everything going just fine, everybody's saying, oh, yeah, you can do it. You're the boy. You're the man. You know, his daddy was saying it to him, and that was awesome, and God was telling him that. But at the same time, God knew more than his father knew. Sometimes a good man like Jacob, his father was a good man. You know, he's one of the patriarchs. And good men don't always understand what their children need. You know, Jacob would never have called Joseph suffering. He was trying to make Joseph was being spoiled in a sense by his father, and God knew that if he kept hanging around his daddy all the time, those gifts in him that were going to be way beyond ruling over the family, but ruling over basically most of that part of the world, because the dream was not just about the family. So what did he do? He got him away from his father, who spoiled him. Who caused him, who really never gave him any pain or suffering, always was telling him you know, how great he was, and gave him the coat to remind him of how great that he was. And so if God knew that if I just keep him around all the positive thinkers, if you will, the positive people in his life, then he's not going to be able to discover that the abilities to rule over and manage basically that part of the known world. It was much bigger than what he dreamed, much bigger than what he thought. And so what did God do? First thing he did is caused him, his brothers, to sell him out and be caught, taken to a place where he's away from his father, who spoiled him. And I'm not saying it's all bad, but never would have ever created any kind of suffering for him because he was a good man. You know, people think that God's like a good man, but God's not like a good man. God built him up. He told Joseph, "You're awesome. You're going to rule over your brothers." Showed him what his purpose was. He went, "Oh my God, this is amazing." And then he throws him into a pit. God has him thrown into a pit. Why? Because he wanted to dig deep within him. And what happened? 13, 14 years later, you know, he's ruling Egypt. You know, but he would not have been prepared because last night we talked about preparation. Preparation, what was the preparation at this point? He was being trained. Sometimes when you join the military and you're 17, 18 years old, just like Joseph was 17, you go away from mama, you go away from daddy, you know, you go away from, you know, the family, and all of a sudden you're in a strange land, in a strange world with people who don't know what a sweet little boy that you were when you were born and how wonderful you are. And they're just thinking, hey, sissy boy, you're not with your mommy anymore or with your dada, you're with us. And you better grow up, you're going to grow up fast. And so all of a sudden they're in this place of, you know, grinding and suffering and pain. And so it's not the only strategy. I think they got that strategy probably from God, you know, with Joseph and others. But really, true different. Sometimes God cannot bring out the best. But that's why they say the more you suffer, the greater you're going to be. Because the suffering is what, if you will, like a drill bit, like a diamond drill bit, drilling down inside you to strike oil, to strike that anointing, to bring forth that thing that is in you. It's called preparation. So when you go to war, when you go to training, when you're 17, 18 years old, whatever it is, you know, and you're suffering, you're away from mom, you're doing things you've never done before, you're being yelled at all the time instead of like telling maybe what a good boy you are, and you're such a fine kid, you're my baby, and all that. It's like, thank God they had that. That's important, right? Joseph had that. His father's really just showed a great affection to him. It was a beautiful part of his life and very important. But God goes, okay, good enough. 17 years of being spoiled rotten is awesome. But now we're gonna take him through so much pain and suffering. He's now ready to start growing up and digging in. And so what did God do? The opposite of what we think. And just like this, that tennis girl I'm talking about. I mean, she's now like she went from not even being known to being like one of the number one players in the world. I mean, just like that, she started beating people. You know, and this is her testimony. She literally said, "Yeah, before I went out there, you know, won that tournament, which put her on the world." You know, everybody noticed her now. She's at the top 10 or whatever it is. And because it's like, you know, the top 100, the top 200, you know, and she was moving way up. And she literally said, I'll never forget it. She says, you know, I was listening to the commentators of a show I listened to, you know, ABC, NBC, whatever it was. And they were saying, yeah, you know, golf is playing, you know, the number one player in the world tonight, and you know she don't have a chance, but we're glad she's here, and she won't make it. It won't happen. And she says herself, she said literally, I went out there on fire. I went out there on fire. Now, had she been spoiled and told she's going to be great and all that? Yeah, I'm sure. I hope so. You need that, but also we got to have the balance, and that's what most people are lacking. They think that we need everybody to just say, "Oh, honey, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. We're going to make it as easy as we can on you." And God's like going, okay, I'm going to have to get him away from them if I'm ever going to make them successful. I'm going to have to get them away from everybody who's like petting them all the time to be petted and be told you're awesome and great. It's part of it too. But friend, sometimes when you've got enough of that, God says, now we're going to grind in some suffering here, and it's going to dig in. It's going to find those things, and it's going to be called preparation, training for what's coming, what's ahead. And if you reject the suffering, you think it's always the devil and always whatever. I'm not saying you're going to think it's going to be great because it's going to be difficult. But if you're going to be successful, friend, you're going to go through suffering. You know, you have best friends die on you. You have, you know, your mother and father die. You're going to have broken, can have broken relationships, broken jobs, broken whatever, broken hearts, whatever it is, I don't know. You know, only God knows what particular kind of pain that you need to cause you to dig in. You know, my pain has been, you know, I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard too many people go through some of the stuff I've gone through. It's not that it's that bad, but it's just extremely unique. And one of those situations where, you know, you tell people and they don't believe you. So that became part of my life. You know, I prophesy now to people and they don't believe me. You know, they're like, oh, no, but, I don't, we love you, man, but I don't think that's going to be happening now. Trump, he's going to, you know, whatever. Now that ain't going to, yeah. Nah. So it became a world of, for me, in a sense of having things go on, prophetic things, especially that people go, no, you know, there's no way you could have gotten, there's no way. You could, and they don't believe you. You know, not that you guys don't, but, you know, people overall going like, somehow or another, that can't be right. You're lying, you know. And they call you a liar, or they just actually don't believe. You know, you got proof of that, which we do, and they usually don't want to see it. When they see it, they find fault with it. So it doesn't really do a lot of good to try to prove things, a lot of them. But you need the proof if you got it. You need to document things for sure. But what happens is that what I was being prepared for was things, situations that were so unbelievable. This has been a story of my prophetic life. God put me in situations like Joseph. He knew the things that would affect me the most, that would cause me the most pain and the most suffering, where I would feel like a knife was stuck in my heart and I couldn't get it out for a full year. I told you about that. You know, not every circumstance that maybe what I went through wouldn't faze you. You know, maybe what you've gone through wouldn't faze me. But whatever it is, it's fazing you. And God's going to make sure it does, because that's the thing that's going to be digging in deep and cause you to get on your face and do whatever to find out what God has for you and willing to pay the price to get it done, because nothing else. That's the thing with Joseph. Joseph was willing to pay the price now because he's away from his daddy. You know, he's having to do whatever it takes instead of, like, it being given to him by dada. You know, now he's having to, you know, perform for people who don't know him. And so it caused him to go at it, man, and trust God and believe God. And he did a great job. And so the same thing, you know, has happened with me in a situation. God put Joseph in a situation where he loved his family. He was going to rule over his family. That's what God did. What pain did God cause him? The very people he was going to rule over took power over him and threw him out. They took power over him, control of him, and threw him out. And yet the God dream he got was showing him that he's going to rule over them. And here they were. That was the most painful thing that could have happened to him. It was the most painful thing. That got him on the road to being trained and being prepared for what he was about to go through. If what he was about to go through was not just rule over his family, which would have been amazing, but he's going to rule over, you know, Egyptians and that part of the world with Pharaoh. It was a huge kingdom and a lot of influence, and he actually saved that part of the world. They would have starved to death, literally. There was no food. The whole world would have basically died. That's how bad it was. 7 years of horrible famine, and it was really bad. So in my case, the things that happened to me to prepare me were things that happened that if I tell people what it is, they're not going to believe you because it's so crazy. You know, the same thing, the prophetic work that I get, the things that God shows me. What if they're so way out there, it's like nobody's going to believe you when you tell them. And they're like, what? You got that? You got this? So, you know, and everybody has their thing. That's mine. And the pain I suffer is when people don't believe it, even though, you know, things happen, you know, time and time again. It's like, you know, so what does that do? That it caused me to, you know, I would give words to other prophets who were, you know, fairly well known at the time. And I would tell them what God was telling me. And they said, no, you know, really, yeah, you know, it's pretty good, Chandler, but I don't think it's going to happen. And it would happen. And I'm like going, you know, like they didn't believe it. So it's like, wow, and okay, and then things started happening one after the other, and then they started going, man, you know, we don't know who you are or what's going on, but something's happening with you. I'm going like, yeah, I don't know either. It's really amazing. And so it was all because, and they didn't even believe it. So I started figuring out what the work God did in me was. He gave me the power to go, well, God is showing me, I don't care how big of a prophet you are. I told you what God told me. You told me it wasn't going to happen. I believed you. I thought, well, maybe I'm just missing it. And then it happened. And then it happened again and again and again and again. You know, what it did with me was they weren't believing it, right? Like the saying, the things that happen in my personal life are things that you tell people, they're going, yeah, right, Chandler, Yeah, you're just a little bit delusional. And that's the thing that I've lived with. And it's also true with me in the prophetic realm. You know, what was that suffering for? People not believing me, and you tell them, and they think you're a lunatic or you're crazy, or that can't happen like that. That just doesn't happen to people. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Well, it happened to me, and nobody believes you. So it's this whole realm of suffering that I went through was preparing me for my prophetic future, which we're going to give things and information. The thing that people just go, yeah, right, you know, I'm not saying our friends, but just overall people, you know, they don't believe it. So what happened to me? I decided what made me strong, what brought the gift out of me. When I give those words to those prophets that I know are prophets, and they didn't believe, really think it was going to happen. They thought I was just like, you know, trying to be important. And then it started happening. You know what it did to me? It started causing me to go, God, you're more real than anybody. God, you're the one who speaks to me, and it's proven to me, and even to these people that didn't believe me, I'm starting to see that you're actually speaking to me. So it made me strong, very, very strong. And some people call it stubborn, which is not stubborn. It's just, you know, when you find out that God speaks to you, and, you know, it's a private thing, it's a powerful thing, it's a holy thing, and how can you deny God? How can I deny God anymore? And believe what people tell me. No, don't be saying that, Chandler. Don't be saying that, because if you can't you just take that off of there? Even my own wife, who was just trying to help me, she was trying to hurt me. She would say, no, don't be saying, you know, don't be saying that the George Bush Republicans are going to be coming against Trump, because that doesn't make us, you know, why don't you just change that word a little bit and change it to Democrats? Well, like, I can't, man. That's what God said. He made it plain. Well, I don't think so. You think you should change it, but. So there again, you know, it wasn't like an evil thing. It was somebody trying to help me, trying to be my friend, who was trying to influence me to do something other than what God told me, because they didn't believe, really, they truly couldn't believe that God had told me that. So here I'm facing this thing of getting information, prophetic words, dreams, different things, and you tell people, they're going like, yeah, I'm buying that up in the name of Jesus. You know, not evil people, not bad people, It's just part of the prophetic realm. And what it do inside me, it made me strong, made me think, you know, God was forming in me, making me like flint, that when people came against it, it's like, you know, it's like flint. It's like I don't budge, I don't move, you know. And that took time to do that, because I got to where I had so much confidence that God was speaking to me that I didn't care what prophet they were, how much money they had, how big they were. It didn't make any difference to me. I'm not going to fight them. But, you know, I'm going to listen to what God tells me, and I'm going to go with what God tells me. And that took time of giving words and people not believing it, and it came to pass. Giving words, people not believing it, and it came to pass again. Giving words to people who prophesied and they didn't believe it, and it came to pass. You see, the suffering that I was going through personally, just like with Joseph was about him being a manager and being successful and digging into learning how to and be honest and be, you know, forthright. Which he was tremendously. You could trust Joseph with anything. You could leave him and go away for 5 years, and you could be guaranteed that he wouldn't be stealing nothing, taking nothing, or taking away from your stuff. And that's what the reputation that he had. And that was done in him through the suffering that he went through with the loss of his family, the loss of his father. He had to start, God started saying, he had to start proving himself, well, my family may reject me. My brothers don't really believe I'm going to be successful, that I'm going to rule, that I'm a ruler. And I know my daddy did, but I'm not with him anymore. He can't tell me, you know, okay, Joseph's going to be fine now, because I can't hear his voice. He's not here. But what did it do? It caused Joseph to be very strong and becoming, you know, focusing on and trusting God to show him how to run things, how to manage things. So I hope I'm getting this across to you tonight, because somebody out there listening tonight, you need this. You need to hear this stuff. And, you know, the things I've gone through, I go through them, I know, so I can help other people, you know, realize, you know, when you hear from God about things and when you know things are happening and other people just, I'm talking about just not once or twice, I'm talking about consistently, time after time after time, you can prove it. Not just talk, you can prove it came to pass. It happened. Right? So we're talking about not just some flimsy little, you know, things that we think happened, that came to pass, but we're not really sure. There's no evidence of anything. I'm talking about things that you can prove. You know, that's what people, I don't have to prove it. No, the Bible is full of people who made the proof written. They wrote the proof down. People say, I don't have to have that. That just basically says that you're really not getting anything. You really don't have any confidence that God's speaking to you something, or you would document it, because that's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. That's what we do. We document things. Why? Because God's speaking to us. When God speaks to you, all through the Bible, the whole Bible is nothing but documentation of what God spoke and the proof and the evidence of the witnesses. That's what it's for. We don't have to do that. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we need to follow the Word of God and the way the Word of God is done. So quit rebuking me on that. Okay? I love you. Yeah. Listen to the servant of the Lord. He's trying to tell you something you need to help you out for your future. All right. Anyway, we'll get past that. But all right, good to be here tonight. We're going to take callers. Thanks for being on EGN tonight. We're glad to share with you and talk with you. You know, if you've gone through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, just realize that, Joseph was unsuccessful for a long time. He went backwards. He actually went backwards, right? Yeah, he did. He went backwards. So really, really amazing. So anyway, there you go. All right. Good to be with you tonight. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on, see what we can get into, right? Yeah, let's see what kind of trouble we can get into. Not with God, of course, but, you know, with people who don't believe. Anyway, okay, hang on. I'll be right back, and we're going to go for it. All right, 954-580, who am I talking to you from? 954. Hello, 580. Hello. I can't hear you. If you're talking to me, I can't hear you. So, 954, just try it again. Hello. I feel like they're sleeping. How many times we had that happen?
A lot.
We've had that happen a lot. All right. All right, let's go here to 720-819. I think this is Jeff and Uke from wherever they're from.
Jeff and Uke here.
I don't even know anymore. What y'all doing over there?
Seeing family.
Why? Okay. Nice.
I don't know why.
Oh.
We're coming to check on everybody out here.
Yeah. What was I hearing about Colorado? Colorado... There's some things that went on with Colorado the last few days in the news.
Trump Supreme Court decision.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they said they weren't going to throw it, so they allowed him to be on the ballot. Right?
Yeah, they
the
had no ability to remove him from the ballot. It's a federal, not a state issue. So the federal government said, get out of the way. It's not a state debate here. The federal ballot.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's probably probably makes sense to most people who understood the legal part of that, but they try to do everything they can to take him down, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's more tricks coming. They've got up their sleeve.
Yeah. Hey,
you know,
your little saying that you came up with was, I'm riding with Biden, man. Hey, you can ride with him now because he's now the nominee for the Democrats. Did you know that?
I did. I was hoping that would turn out. You know, we're riding all the way. 2024, baby.
No, it's man. Come
whooping
on, man.
And riding.
Yeah, I remember the night you said that. I'm going like, interesting. I'm riding with Biden. And what was the other thing? What did we end up coming with? What's her name? I can't think of her name right now. But
we're Killer Camilla. We got a Killer Camilla coming in.
Yeah,
about
there
to
you
take
go.
Over.
Riding with Biden and Killer Camilla. Yeah, so isn't that interesting that they had – Biden never really was able to make it into anything when he was younger and – was talking, better and communicating better than he does now. He's old now, but when you're old, you just fall apart. The older you get, the more you fall apart, unless you're like us
We got brainwave stuff going on. We're getting younger, but anyway, so what was I going to say about that? I got up in all this. So Biden's the guy now, and Trump is still working on his. He'll get here soon in a little bit. So anyway, Biden couldn't make it when he was younger, and then all of a sudden, this the time around that he did make it when he beat Trump, or whatever, however he did it with Trump, that you know, they just decided that they wanted him to be their candidate, and he was. And now, not only did it make the first time, it looks like he's going to make it the second time, where he did make it to be at least the nominee. I mean, that's crazy, man. Now he's even older.
Yeah, how old is he now? Yeah, that's a great question. I got to look that up.
I don't know. Yeah, can you all look that up real quick?
He's 81 years old, Randy.
81, that's young, man. You know, my father-in-law,
you know,
who we think is a Mason, he's like 90-something, and he's sharp as a tack. I guess being a Mason has been good for him. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm playing.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah, 81, so he'll be, man. They said that job ages you already.
They said what?
He'll be, they say the presidency ages you already. You look at everybody, the before and after picture, when they got in, when they left, they all look way older.
Yeah.
Every president.
I know. I noticed with, you know, Obama, bless his heart, I guess after 8 years of, well, you got to think about this, man. You got the pressure of the world on you every day. I mean, you know, even though he's 81 years old, it's like, you know, I think everybody knows that he's not running everything. Does any president really run everything? I think Trump kind of did, but I mean, they have people who tell them kind of what to do, and they kind of decide whether they're going to do it or not, basically, right? I mean,
yeah, they probably have the least, you know, I would say of all the groups, the Supreme Court probably is the most powerful.
Right.
All the checks and balances, the president doesn't have much power of anything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't really
Ron
need
DeSantis to run
the country.
Ron DeSantis is only 45.
Ron DeSantis?
Yeah,
wow.
He's 45 years old.
That's
Obama,
young, man.
Obama, 62.
That's...
Trump is 77. Joe Biden is 72. Vladimir Putin is 71. Kamala Harris is 59. Bill Clinton, 77. Bernie Sanders is 82.
So Biden is older now than Clinton.
Yeah, Trump's 77 and Clinton is 77. They're the same age.
Same age, yeah. Well, Trump seems like he's still pretty sharp. I mean, I think that the hell he's gone through has probably done a number on him. But that's the thing we're talking about with Joseph tonight. It's like if you're born to do that stuff, you know, it makes you sharper. I mean, it makes you – you have to dig deep. And if you're called to do it by God, then, you know, you're going to find some – like Joseph, you know, because he was young. He was like 17 years old when he was, you know, kicked out of the house. And, you know, by the time he was ruling, I think he was around 30, 33. I think 30, like Jesus. I think he was like 30 when he finally made it to the throne. So that's young, man. 30 years is old. He's very young. He wasn't old at all. He was like a baby compared to these guys. And he's running Egypt, man, at 30 years old. That had to be a pretty amazing. He had to be an amazing guy.
Yeah, you hear some of that. They didn't live too long, but I don't know if I believe that. They might have lived longer than we thought. Certain point in history, 30 years old is an old man. People didn't live much past 40.
Yeah, back then, though, they lived to be, you know, I think he lived to be, I don't know, 100, something like that. I can't remember exactly how old he was when he died. But.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sense.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about something, what is going on with, that's just so much stuff happening.
Well, did you put two and two together that if Iran and Saudi Arabia are getting together, then all it takes is a beef with Iran and Israel, and that kicks off World War III right there.
Wow. Well, I don't know if I put that particular thing together, but I did. So what was amazing to me was was that the date God gave me a couple of years ago was Friday, October the 13th, the one I could never tell anybody. When the crash, and I didn't understand exactly what the crash was, but the crash was going to begin. You know, in other words, it was going to start on October the 13th, you know, which I'm thinking, you know, it's going to start crashing. The market's going to start crashing. But what I realized was that crashing had to do with the merger. So the merger is what's going to crash, you know, the dollar and crash everything else, and it's going to kind of take over. And it's going to, in a sense, the crash is going to be the fact that if you don't agree with the system, you're out. And so that was going to begin on October the 13th, 2023. Right, that's the date I got two years before, and so when October the 4th, when we did the transaction of, you know, 90% of the 85 to 90% of the dollar of the amount we had in our account of the dollar was we bought gold and silver, right? That was on October the 4th. Then on the 7th, the war happened, and then 6 days later is when October 13th was. And so I kept thinking, okay, I don't see any evidence that crash or that something major happened until, last week when I was going through and I realized that's what you're talking about happened actually on the 12th and then on the 13th after they made a phone call and talked to each other. They just don't talk to each other, these guys. Saudi Arabia, which is Sunni, and Iran, which is Shia, they don't talk, man. They hate each other. So when I saw on October the 12th, which was 5 days after the war started, that they had a conversation, I'm going like, okay, oh, my God, there's something right there. They got together. Oh, my God, that's the day before the Lord told me the crash is going to begin. So they get together on the 12th. The 13th is the day, Friday the 13th, 2015, is when God told me the falling was going to begin. And so I also had another article I found that on the 13th, they actually got together. And then on the 14th, another article saying that they got together on the 13th. You know, I'm going like, so that made sense to me, because the reason that the Saudi prince got together with Iran, president of Iran, was because of his oil business being messed with because of the war in Israel. What do you know about it? I mean, what have you done any research on it and kind of dug around on it? As far as
the
Sunni and Iran thing?
So, well, you can see where the world is getting divided. It's really clear. So, you know, with the Trump beating up on China and making it hard for us to do business with them, then you got Russia and their embargo. And then you got all the Muslim countries. You got North Korea. You've got, you know, African countries that have been banned from working with the world system, like Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan and places like that. They're under embargo. You've got Venezuela. So all the people that have kind of been at odds with the world system or the UN or NATO, they're going to come together, and then it's all the, you know, mainstream UN countries and NATO countries, they're going to be on the other side. And then that's where the lines are going to be drawn for, you know, the coming battle. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Well, I also saw an article where it talked about how China is the one who counseled or mediated before for the Sunnis and the Shiites, for Iran and Iran, I'm trying to say it right, Iran and Saudi Arabia to get together. They're the ones who made that deal happen, where they made for them to make a phone call for the prince of Saudi Arabia, which is a Sunni, to call the Shiite Muslim president in Iran and do anything was unbelievable. And so when they did that, that just kind of broke the ice, man. That, to me, I've heard people talk years ago, the prophetic people say that if those two groups ever get together, which are total enemies, and they agree together, like you're talking about, man, the war is on, dude. I mean, like you said, that the number World War III or whatever, it's going to happen. And what day did all that happen? The 12th, the 13th, and the 14th, which is the 13th is the date God gave me 2 years ago. I documented the whole thing. And I didn't understand it all. I didn't know that what was happening was the crash had to do with the merger that the angel told me about, that the merger had to do with Hamas, I mean, with Gaza, because Gaza merged. I mean, Gaza merged. I'm going to go backwards here. In 2005, when the angel told me there's a massive merger coming, which is what connected me to the market and all that, you know, prophetically, 2005, January, then 8 months later is when Gaza was given away. And then 3 or 4 months later, as we heard from Dr. Morari, you know, he gave a word to the prime minister of Israel, don't, if you give land away for peace, God's going to deal with you. He had a stroke 4 months later and basically never recovered until he died on the same exact date, Jeff, January 11th, 2014, on the very day the angel told me there's a massive merger coming, which now I realize that the massive merger had to do with the crash, because when the world merges, that means they're going to take over everything, right? And so all that had to do with Gaza. Everything, he merged, he sold out Israel, gave Gaza to the to the Philistines, basically, Philistines, Palestine means Philistines, gave it away to the Philistines, and then, you know, then basically, you know, lived on life support until 2014, on the same date the angel talked to me about that. You know, it's just unbelievable. And then then on October the 13th, I didn't know there's going to be a war on October the 7th, 2 years ago. I didn't have a clue. I didn't even put all this stuff together. So what was the war October the 7th when the war happened? What was that about? Gaza. It's what goes back all the way to the time the angel spoke to me and told me there's a massive merger coming. So what created the merger on October the 13th was the beginning when that war happened. That's when it clicked the Sunnis to get together and the Shiites to get together. Dude, that was all I needed. Then I kind of went, okay, now I understand God. Man, that was a big one for me personally. You know, I'm going like, dear God, that is mind-boggling.
You know, it's shaping up right before your eyes.
It's just, I'm in shock. I mean, the war starting on the 7th was amazing to me. But I couldn't, you know, think, you know, what is the 13th? You told me October the 13th would let me tell anybody, you know, Friday the 13th, which even sounded crazier. God telling me Friday the 13th, Randy, that's when the crash is going to begin. I'm going like, okay, whatever that means, you know, and kind of find out that what was the deal made on October the 13th with the Sunnis and Shia? What were they there for? They were there, Jeff, because of the Gaza war, because the Sunnis, that's their business. Oil is their business. That's how they make their wealth, extreme wealth, right? You know that. And so what happened was the war in Gaza, which was what the merger is going to be about, was the very reason that they got together and unified for the first time in, I don't know how many years, many, 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 many years, and hate each other and killed each other and just been at odds. And now all of a sudden, they're best buddies. It's just, you just can't make this stuff up. Oil, it's about oil, money. Yeah, and money in the Middle East, West, money, global money, really. I don't know if you know anything about the Sunni oil, and I don't really know much about it, but I know that one of the reasons that we quit drilling oil here, from what I understand, was because, you know, we're buying Middle East oil or something like that, right? Or no?
Yeah, it's just easier to logistically work over there with oil, with everybody that needs it, and then it comes out a little sweeter. You don't have to refine it as much. It's just more oil rich and it's really cheap.
Yeah, and they're not going to deal with the dollar anymore. I think that's probably what the crash or the merger thing is about, is that when they got together, you know, they're trying to get away from the dollar, right? As we know, I think you've talked about that before, where, you know, Russia and all of them, they're voting against, you know, the merger, the merger, I call it the merger now, you know, doing away with the dollar and using, you know, currency, whatever that currency is. When that happens, the United States is going to be like, not going to be number one, that's for sure.
that's what the Rothschild group wants. They want both sides to come against each other. You know, they're playing both sides.
Right. That's interesting. Very interesting. Playing both sides. So you know they're
so
playing.
So people are being confused. It's not one world system. It's three or four systems that look like they're different, but they're not.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. So they're working it. Yeah. So you think that Nathaniel, now that Nathaniel has taken over his family, I guess, I haven't heard anything else about that since his father died, but he's now, wasn't the timing on that amazing? Now all of a sudden he's in control of his family or his, you know, Jacob's part of the family. I mean, that was huge in my thing. And the timing on it was amazing. February the 26th, I think is when it happened. And so the war had been going on since October. And then, you know, then the Sunnis and the Shiites get together, mind-boggling, on October the 12th. And then no telling what went on the 13th, what actually went on the 13th. After they broke the ice, they probably got together and started talking about what they were going to get together. They got together in November the 11th, 11-11, 2023, but which is almost exactly a month after they talked. You know, I'm almost exactly a month after the war started. And so all it kind of came together pretty quick. And all of a sudden you're seeing pictures of them shaking hands and people are in shock going, oh, my God. You talk about a merger, boy, that was like. So they're going to, now that I think that's happened and the reason that they came together, I bet Nathaniel is probably going like, you know, like, hey, man, this is because what I kept getting from the war was that the Gaza war was going to be the event that the global people were going to come together and say, this is the event we need to do what we got to do. And that all happened on October the 12th and 13th and 14th. That's when they got together. That's when the Sunnis and Shiites got together over Gaza. That's what the article says, and shook hands on November the 11th and kind of unified. Said, well, you know, we can't let the Israel. So what I see happening is kind of what you said, was that Gaza, the whole thing with Gaza is, and the Sunnis and Shiites, is they're going to say, man, they're messing with our money. And they don't mess with you until you mess with their money. You know that. You can talk bad about the Rothschilds. You can talk bad about anybody that has money and wealth. They're used to it. They just laugh it off. But when you start messing with their money, that changes everything. And that's what caused the Sunnis and Shiites to get together. Because of the oil with the Saudis, they were messing with their money. So I think kind of what you're talking about is that they're gonna try to stop Israel, and when they try to stop them, what's gonna happen? They're gonna have to come up with a peace treaty, like Dr. Morari was talking about. He said, "Pray for Bibi, you know, the Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. Pray for him because he's under a lot of pressure, and he knows him personally, as you know." So he's saying pray for him because, you know, he feel like he might give in and somehow, somewhere along the way, and sign a peace treaty. I said this on the show. I asked him, I said, do you mean the peace treaty that's going to bring everything together? He said, yeah. Now that the Sunnis and Shiites, I would love to talk to Morari now. I need to have an interview with him again and see what he thinks about that, because that was so big. And the Muslims, basically, they hate Israel and their belief system. So when they come together and merge, as they already have, dude, they're gonna be, you talk about the war of wars like you're talking about, I think that's what's really about to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think it's gonna be necessarily, you know, like World War II, right? I think it'll be
okay.
A lot of, you know, currency embargo wars and
there you go.
Weather warfare and electromagnetic warfare and taking out people's power grids and biological warfare. It'll look a lot different. You know, people might not even know it's a war, quote unquote, but all this crazy stuff will happen and they don't know who it is or what side is what or who is who.
Yeah.
And they might make it look like it was somebody else when it was really another group, and it'll probably be very confusing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I know that when Putin went after Ukraine and shut down their system, you know, he shut it down where they couldn't communicate. And, of course, we all know that Elon Musk goes in there and sets up a satellite system. So, and that's really what messed Putin up. That messed him up big time. And so I think that's kind of what you're saying. That was part of the major warfare. It wasn't the bombs and the missiles and the, you know, going in with tanks. His main strategy was cutting off their communication.
I mean, it could happen here. You know, one day all of our power's off, our internet's down. You know, they have those EMP bombs. They can set them off in a city, and everybody's car won't start. All the starters will be completely fried. Every electronic in every building will be fried. Every computer will be fried. But it's not really going to kill people.
Right. But it allows them to come in. If they're all planned, they just come in and take over. And then you wake up the next day, maybe two or three days later, and go like, oh, my God. When all that went down, they just moved right in.
They just moved right in, and nobody had a way to notify anyone or alarm system. It's all been fried, and it's over.
Yeah, so they got to have some – so you know they got to be thinking about that. You know they got to be going like – we're not the only ones that know that, you know, that can happen. That's been talked about for a while. I've heard some preachers talk about that, how they're going to use that to fry everything. You know, John Hagee's used that a lot in his stuff. And I think
oh, really?
It's probably right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's talked about that, you know, several years. But so to me, you know, of course, I haven't heard anything about it. How they'd have, we're going to have another kind of system altogether. And so, however they do that,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be something that we can set up that is set up, that can be set up. That, like one of the things I've talked about before, is a possibility of having, you know,
satellite.
Yeah, some type of thing where you have drones. Like you have a drone. I don't know what we could use, like a drone. And a drone becomes kind of like a satellite. We send it way up, and you can get communication back to a town, you know, or maybe a neighborhood or something, or downtown. Where a drone goes up and takes up the, you know, the, I don't want to say antenna because that's outdated, but whatever, the ability, kind of like a satellite, except if it's a local thing and people can, you know, so I don't know if that would work with the EMP thing.
They have, I got exposed to some of this stuff. They have new things where it's kind of like an antenna, but it's actually pulling from the center of the earth. So they don't need a satellite anymore. They send a signal to the Earth's core, and then they can send it back anywhere, latitude and longitude you want, and you could send a powerful data signal or even energy, electricity, and it could be, you know, generated in New York City, and it shows up in South Africa, and you send it from the Earth's core, and then there's a receiver on the other end in South Africa, and they can take that data that's on the quantum level and just receive it all, and it's electricity, it's data, it's audio, it's video, it's everything. It's like a completely different type of property. Yeah.
How long has that been on, do you know?
There's some guys in the 80s that figured out how to structure copper wire to make it a completely new type of element. It's not copper, it's beyond copper. They call it ORM. I think it's ORMREs, and it's like a quantum property. So they were able to transmit power, and it's just a normal power source, but it's like 60 times the power just going through this copper wire because it's been amplified so much. And then they were testing it, and they were able to touch it, and it didn't electrocute them. And it was AC and DC
wow.
at the exact same time. And you could store it in a battery like completely differently than ever before. And so then they realized they can transmit data. And now they're so far advanced, you know, they're able to transmute this from the Earth's core And what I was told by a businessman that I would trust, there's actually pictures of him with Trump's son, and he's known, you can Google him, and I'm not going to say it here, but he said that Trump has a lot of his uncle, Robert Trump, has Tesla's research and work, and that Trump has carried that on, and he's got all kinds of free energy stuff and frequency stuff that can heal cancer and all this type of power energy thing, you know, completely separate from what I heard about another group had it. But people are discovering this, and now that they're saying that the Paris Accords, that, you know, they have to have a net zero plan for every country with carbon by 2030 and 2040, and they're pushing the timeline up, that all this suppressed, you know, cars that run on water and crazy free energy electricity stuff and all that, they, before, you know, the men in black would come to your house and take you out if you talked about that. And now they're kind of letting that all be released. And
wow.
Trump is one of the people that's got a lot of that technology himself. And South Korea has it. The Chinese have it. The Russians have it.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But I'm not getting that from online. I'm getting it from some people that are actually doing this, and they're scared to talk about it, you know, but they think it's getting closer to revealing what they have.
Right. Because, yeah, it's good. If it's going to make money and do business, then and they're prepared to have investors, I guess I don't know how it works exactly. But, you know,
you come up with something like that, and, you know, you've disrupted the world system way too quick.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good
about
point.
Certain Houston cities that revolve around oil and gas, like a Houston or something, you'd collapse the whole city. I mean, that's not good.
Right. Yeah. Which is partly what the electric cars are already kind of doing. Some of that. I mean, they're trying to. They're working on it. Yeah, as far as that,
and thinking that, it would make sense if a solar panel would power the car, and then you wouldn't need to charge it ever. And they're holding stuff back, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, you're talking about those electric currents, those things going on. That Angie was telling me last night that her husband got cancer dealt with by some little thing that they put on his ankle, on his wrist, and somewhere else. On his head, I think, or something, and sent signals to his body and totally killed the cancer without any, you know, the radiation is what killed him, she said. I didn't even know that till last night. She told me about that.
They're
really
rife
doing
machine.
Something. A what?
RIFE. Those are called rife machines, RIFE.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I had never even heard of that, I don't think. I don't ever heard of that, yeah. Well, you know, I was talking last night. I don't know you had a chance to. Yeah, that's really amazing. And she said, like you said, that healed him. The cancer went completely away. But what he died of was they gave him maximum radiation, and that really is what killed him.
Yeah.
You know, even after he got healed, he got healed of the cancer, he died from the dead radiation, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's not surprising. I'm not meaning to laugh, but, I mean, I'm laughing at the medical system.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm laughing. She laughed at it, too. Yeah, yeah, the radiation, I've never been
just terrible,
a fan of that. Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, it's a devastating thing that it's like they're using, it's like, I don't want to go there right now, but what's so cool with
hey,
that?
Hey, Randy,
you know,
I'm so
night,
sorry. I have to go check on my family. I have to jump off.
Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Have a good night.
Bye. All right. See you later. Bye-bye. Okay. That's all right. I understand. All right. Let's go here to 803-991.
Hi, Randy.
All right. 803-991. Are you there? Every time I get on your phone, it sounds like somebody's snoring. I told you that last time. What that is. I'm going, is she snoring? That's a beautiful snore, by the way. It's the most beautiful. I don't know if you record that or what that is. You're awesome.
No, I don't know what that is. I don't hear anything. But, no, I'm not snoring. I'm awake. At least tonight, anyway.
That's happened the last couple of times I've tried to talk to you. It's like I click on your phone, Jeff had to go all of a sudden, so you were next in line. So, what did you think about that? I don't know if you got a chance to listen last night to the show. We were talking about that on the Daystar Network. They brought this guy that found a way to, you know, heal the brain basically through some music thing or something.
Wow, that's funny because I was listening to some of the show last night. I didn't hear you talking about the brain. I said, you know what, I'm going to listen to the rest of it at work tomorrow, where I left my phone at home. So I didn't get a chance to replay the message. But I did hear you talking about the brain. And I know I've heard about the violin, I think it's the violin, music you play, and it helps with your brain. I mean, I don't know if you heard that. But
yeah,
but you've
no,
got
I've
some
never
type
heard
of
that.
Music. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not,
so what type
what
of music
happened was
– yeah.
It wasn't just music. It was music was a part of it. But this guy's a scientist. I just happened to turn on Daystar. I don't really watch Daystar that much. I just turned it on, and they announced who they're going to have on. They said, "Oh, tonight we're going to have on scientist so and so who found a way to fix the brain." I'm going like, "Oh my God, I got to hear that," you know, because I'm really into that. And sure enough, they got him on there, and he's an older guy. And he had some brain problems himself, and being a scientist, he ended up creating this thing that I think you put it in your ears, on your head or something, and it sends these waves to your brain, and within five at the most, a set where you go in and you know, I don't know how long you do it, for a little while, and then after five times, it fixes your brain where people can't sleep or people on drugs. Or whatever, if their brain is not balanced and functioning properly, it balances it. It's miraculous, man. I've never heard of anything. I'm going, my God, this is amazing. And they bring your brain, if you have any kind of trauma or anything that kind of, they say when you have trauma and accidents and things going on in your life or whatever, you have issues with alcohol and, you know, whatever the things are, sometimes it's your brain is out of balance or not functioning properly. It's not, you know, so this thing that he created, you put it on, you listen to it for a little while and come in four or five times, and it totally balances your brain. And people are going from not being able to, Joni's husband, her new husband says, yeah, I did this. And he says, I've been trying to write books for a while, and said, man, my book writing skills just picked up tremendously. And so I'm going, what? That's just like the movie Limitless that I tell people about. That's what happened to that guy. When he took that pill and he used 100% of his brain, he'd been trying to write a book for, you know, 6 months or maybe a year. I can't remember. All of a sudden, when he took that pill, his brain started working. He wrote that book in like lickety-split, you know, no problem. And when they said that happened to him, you know, Joni's new husband, I'm going like, what? It was amazing. Hello. Are you there? Can't hear you if you're talking to me. Did my audio go bad? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, I don't know what happened. Give me a second.
Hey, Randy, can you hear me?
There you go.
Somehow my phone jumped on mute. How in the world that happened? I don't know. But yeah, okay.
Okay. I do the same thing sometimes, yeah. Yeah, so that was very interesting. Did you hear everything I said? Are you able to hear it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was responding
okay.
to you,
yeah.
So you can hear me without finding my phone.
No.
But yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and the thing is it's not medication. It's something that he created through music. It's not just music. Like he does it through music, but he went to the music industry, and he said he told him what he had, and so he had some guitars and different things playing things, and so he took the music, you know, home with him basically, and got on his system, and he took all the waves of the music, and he kind of, you know, balanced them out, so to speak. Or level them out, or whatever you say, whether it's not up and down and up and down. Like when you see the sounds of music, you know, on a recorder, you can on your computer when you see how it shapes, it goes up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
He smoothed them all out, He kind of explained it. And he said when he smoothed it all out, he said what you do is you listen to that stuff, and it just causes your brain to balance itself out. It talks to your brain, and your brain starts, you know. I mean, people who are alcoholics, people drug addicts, people who can't sleep, haven't slept for years. One lady hadn't slept for 11 years. As soon as she got that, her memory got healed. She said when she went in there, I think for the first visit she made with the doctor, she said that she on her way home, just a few minutes after she did her first time around, she said some painful memories came to the surface, and then they got washed out, and she said she slept ever since. Isn't that amazing? After 11 wow. years, no
that
sleep
is.
At all.
How did she push
I was blown away.
Sleep?
You can, yeah. She was, that I can't even imagine
wow.
that.
Yeah, I've heard about the theta. I think it's called theta waves. Is that what he calls it? Theta, theta waves.
I think
it has
so.
Some effect on the brain. Oh, that's the one that helped realign your brain. I've heard about the brain. Well, different ways that help with your brain. Like I have on stuff on YouTube that hurts and all that stuff. But that's interesting.
Oh,
that is interesting. So there's music like this. Is that like piano music or is it just some type of strange music or?
Well, you know, he just had like guitar music. I don't. He didn't say exactly what all he used. He just started. Yeah, I got a guitar and got a. I don't remember what all he said he had, but.
Okay.
But he said he had them play, a certain kind of music, maybe with certain notes, and then he went home and on his computer he made all the notes. You know, when you replayed it, he went in there and he reset it, where the notes were all. Level or whatever, all flat, you know, and for some reason that reset the brain, man. And he's been doing it Joni's new husband talked about it for him. He said, yeah, it changed my life.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That's like I heard about the harp. I heard if you play the harp, you say you have heart problems, and the harp, if you listen to the harp music, it helps realign your heart. It helps heal your heart. That's what it is. Like heart strings, I guess.
Wow.
It's related to the harp. I didn't know that. But they say if you play the harp, that's another instrument for healing any type of heart issue, like real physical issues with your heart. So I guess the brain also is the same thing. But, yeah, that's quite interesting. I wonder if
theta waves. I don't know what they called it. I don't know that he called it anything. I think it's – they call it – the name of the company is C-E-R-E. S-E-T, like C-E, capital C-E-R-E, like reset, like C-E, and then you spell reset. It's all one word.
And I
get the phone number to everybody last night. I said, you know, this is going to help you. I don't know what it costs. I never even heard of it until last night, and it was right on right before the show, so I didn't have a chance to check it out. And today I've been too busy but to look into it. But, it's pretty amazing.
It is. Yes. So I guess you go into his office and he puts that on your head or something and let you listen to it for a few minutes or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Like,
and they said after five times, you're basically fixed.
Wow.
That's pretty good. No drugs, no nothing.
That is.
I bet it costs a lot.
It's music, probably so. That's very... Well, you know, God, when he used to create the world, he created the world with music. So... That would make sense. The whole universe was created with music, symphony. So
yeah, that's what I. That's the revelation I got. Yeah, I got that revelation about that. God actually showed me that. I didn't ever thought about that before, but I've shared it here on PGM before. It's really true. Yeah, so that was a new development, and the thing that's different between anything about the brain, especially that when I heard them. Saying he had a new invention that I'm going, that guy probably stole my stuff. I'm just kidding. You know, I'm kidding. He probably, I got to find out who this guy is and what did he do? Take my invention? You know, my thing. I'm playing. But so I thought, man, this is interesting. And I listened to him. And of course, it's not my stuff. But what he does is what they do, what's different from what he's doing and what I'm doing is that he, if the brain is out of whack, It causes this thing he does causes the brain to communicate and heal itself to become normal.
Right.
But what we're doing, what we're doing is we're taking a, we're taking a normality for people, which, you know, people who are normal, have a normal brain, and take that normal brain to a hundredfold understanding by activating the full brain. So in other words, what they're doing basically, if we only use 10% of our brain, then he's gonna, if you had a problem, you got an addiction, had some kind of thing happen in your life that messed your brain up, like he did. That's how he found it. And other people have traumas and different things, and they get that fixed. They fix that to where you can be using 10% of your brain. But what we're doing, what I'm doing, what God has had me do is make it to where once you get 10% of your brain going, which is awesome, our deal is we are activating, getting the rest of the whole brain to work. You know, that's what I'm working on. And, so when I heard that, I got excited. I said, I got to tell everybody about that. I talked about it on the show. I gave the phone number. I said, call them up, man. I don't know what it costs. I haven't even had a chance to check it out, but very interesting.
That is. That's very interesting. Yeah, music heals. You know, they say music heals your soul, so that would make sense. I mean, brain is definitely part of your soul. That's what somebody was saying today, actually, saying the brain was, your soul is in your brain, something like that the guy was saying. I heard somebody talking about that today. So, I don't know. But I know music definitely heals.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while too. That was a new thing for me. He started telling me actually a few years ago that the spirit is in the heart, the soul is in the brain, the mind, you know, and the body, our spiritual body, of course, it looks like our body, so it's our body, but so I really believe that, and so what it proved to me was that. I was talking about last night is that it is showing that God is definitely speaking to people about the brain, and that it's not all just reading scripture and, you know, renewing your mind by the Bible and changing your belief system. It's literally dealing with the brain physically. That's what really confirmed to me that I'm on the right path with what God has had me do. And even with what I've said about once you find something, you have to. Yet it took him 2 or 3 years to test it and prove it before he could get it out.
Right.
And that's kind of what's happening with me. I'm having to go through this development stage once I found out that it was actually working. And then Angela, my brain, this is happening to me every day. My brain is processing information so fast. And I'm not even the same person organizationally. I mean, I can't even tell people what that is, you know, literal, but if I did, it's hard to understand. But things I've never been good at doing, I could do it, but I had to really work hard to get it done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't stay persistent with it because it was too hard to be persistent. You know, I couldn't do it.
Right.
So now it's like my brain is just, you know, working. Yeah, really amazing.
That's awesome. And because you take the your concoction, but your formula that you have. I thought about you that day. I saw a picture of the lion's mane again. I thought about you. I said, "That's Randy's." But this was white, and it looks like a how would you describe it? It's like a white spongy looking kind of.
That's what lion's mane looks like. Yeah, it's white.
Yeah, and then when they cooked it. They did it some kind of way. Like I said, it looks like chicken. I saw another picture the other day. I think it was yesterday. I was reading anything lion's mane. And the way they did, like they grilled it and, you know, like a good piece of chicken, like, you know, some off the grill. I said, how do they do that with that?
Wow.
Yeah. But it looks,
that's pretty
cool. Before, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know it looks like
it's
that before they, you know,
cook
it, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I went to the store to buy some today and they didn't have any. They were out of it. I guess everybody's getting into the lion's mane thing because they always have lion's mane. I went there today, and just today, to Whole Foods to buy some. That's where I buy the Whole Foods. And I always buy me a couple of them. Put a couple of them in my the whole container in my two containers of it in my juice. It's so good for the brain, yeah, and they're out of it, so I'm having to wait a couple of days. I went out today and bought all my stuff again because I'm about to run out. So I went out to the store. Yeah, I spend $75 to $100. Well, I spent about $150 actually just on that stuff. to make my juice.
Yeah, I bet it's the same. Right.
It's not cheap, but man, it's powerful. I'm telling you, it's like what's going on with me is I'm going, what is actually going on with me? This is unbelievable.
You got Herbicoastal Formula, so we can try your formula for the rest of us. We need 100% of our brain use. I'll be first in line. I would like 100% of my brain.
Yeah. Well, that's why I shared that last night with everybody. I gave the phone number. I said, here's the name of the company. Call them up. They're in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they're awesome. And it sounds like, and I don't know, it may be really expensive. I really don't have a clue. I don't know anything about it other than they talk about it. But I want to see people's brains become normal, you know.
Right.
The thing with me is my goal, as I said earlier, is to bring the brain to past normal, what we call normal, to fully 100-fold understanding, you know, 100% of the brain.
Right.
Yeah, that's what my goal is. It's the goal God's given me. So.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, that is. That is. That's something different.
Yeah, I was shocked.
You know, having music just for the brain. But I heard of the harp thing. I found that out probably about a year ago. The harp. Playing the harp, even while you're sleeping, it helps to heal your heart. How did I know that?
Wow.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm.
That
like
is
a harp
pretty good,
music,
yeah.
CD or something. Yeah. So.
Wow.
And then I found this pomegranate juice. I was just so impressed with it. It's by this company called Gala, G-A-I-L-L,
yeah,
I think it is. But yeah, it was really good. I was like, it was better than what I've gotten out of the store because some of the stores have these really sweet pomegranate. But I know you say you use the whole pomegranate. But this company,
yeah.
it it tastes like the seed, like they just crushed the seeds and put it in that bottle. It was pretty good. It's a little bit expensive.
They
but
crushed
it was,
the seed? Say
yeah,
it again.
Like,
they crushed the seed?
Mm-hmm. It tastes like they just crushed the seed. Like, I know with the whole pomegranate, you get the fiber and all that stuff, but this is just the juice. So it just, to me, it tastes like they just crushed the seeds and put it into the bottle. But it's
yeah, you don't
juice.
Mean
it's
the seed itself. You're talking about they got the juice off the seed, not the seed, but because the seed has the juice on it, but then there's actually a seed inside that. Yeah. So you're just talking about the juice.
Yeah. Yeah, the juice from the seed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I actually crush the seed itself. I get the juice off the seed, off the pomegranate juice, off the pomegranate seeds,
mm-hmm.
and I separate that out, make juice out of that, and then I take the seeds themselves,
mm-hmm.
and I do them too, yeah. I make a juice out of them also, and it's really, the seeds are really good for you.
Okay, yeah, I've eaten seeds too when I eat the pomegranate, when I can find some, but yeah.
Yeah, you talked about that before,
really
yeah, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's going on? What do you got on your head tonight? What's up? What
you came across my mind today, Prophet Randy. I was driving. I was at work, and I thought about something you had said before on the show about how God would have somebody start writing about these events that's happening right now. And I was asking him about it, and so lo and behold, I just came home and started writing about it today. And then I hear you speak about it tonight again, saying someone needs to be writing this down and stuff. I was like, I didn't think about I would be that person, but I said, you know what, I'm just going to start writing because there's so much stuff going on in the world, and it's, you know, you're going to actually be in the middle of it with the two witnesses, so that's great history. So I'm just going to start writing. I've already started, and I just call it This Is Real, This Is Real, This Is Real. I started off, so I just got a page done, but all the events you've talked about, like I said, when I first found your ministry, you know, when you you said something that made me stay with the ministry. I don't think you realized it, but you was just, you know, talking on your shows like you normally do. And you were like, I think what got my attention was when you said, you said two things actually, but you said, yeah, we're going to be walking down the street seeing some strange things going on in the near future, but you said it years ago. And I was like, wow, what is that about? You know?
What is that about? I love it, yeah.
And you said something about Jesus. You said, I got news for y'all. He don't have blue eyes and blonde hair either. And so when you said that, I was like, okay. So that just got my, you know, kind of piqued my curiosity. Cause, yeah,
I remember
you
that, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and you said about the music in heaven that you heard it, and it don't sound like you just saying. I don't think you said it all in one night, but I just remember certain things you had said. It just, you know, some things get your attention, like, you know, you heard the music of heaven, and it didn't sound like just regular, you know, hymn notes or something like that you said. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. Wow. We talk about so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So
yeah,
I'm going to start writing some of this stuff down, and, you know, who knows, who may read it. Or I may just put it on Amazon or something. I don't know, like I did my last book, but I'm just going to start, see how the Lord takes me. I'm going to, Holy Spirit leads me, so.
Now, when you talk about information, what information are you talking about? You talking about just like a little bit of everything? You talking about like what's going on
with a little bit.
You know, the Antichrist name, the red heifer,
all of it.
Oh, good.
I'm
going
to try to put it all, because I'm hearing different things. Like, you know, I hear, you know, this is my home ministry. Now, there's other ministries too, but it's all, you know, it's all pieces of the puzzle coming together. So that's how much
it really
is. Combine it all in one. So, yeah.
Yeah, the puzzle's definitely coming together right now. I've never seen it come together so fast, and I don't know if I would have been able to see it. I'm giving God the credit for my brain thing going on. I think my brain thing my brain expanding and my brain waves, whatever's going on with all that, the Holy Spirit's doing that, is helping me to see things, because my brain has become very organized. You know, I could be organized, but it was really hard. Now it's just like, you know, it just happens, and I'm not even trying.
Mm-hmm.
That itself would be enough to show me that what I'm doing is working, because it's totally against my nature, what I'm doing, and I'm not even trying. That was the miraculous thing. Plus other things. I was telling Angie last night, and I was talking with her about it, that I'm even walking differently. My brain, you know, it's simple as when we walk, if we're not walking the way we're supposed to walk, you know, we're putting way too much pressure and weight on, you know, it's like we use 30% of our foot to walk, as an example. We use 30% of our foot to walk. Right. What's the other? So we're putting 30% of our weight on our all of our weight on 30% of our foot. When our foot was made to walk, bearing all the weight of our body, or, you know. And so what's been happening to me in the last few days, the last maybe week, is that all of a sudden I found myself, and it's hard to explain it, but my brain is telling my feet to walk a certain way. And I'm watching this go on right inside of me. It's like, what? This is really weird. And so what I found was that my walk is changing, where I'm walking easier, which I didn't know I didn't walk easy, you know, honestly, until I found out that I wasn't. And now my weight is evenly being distributed all over my whole foot, where 100% of my foot is carrying 100% of my body in a very balanced way, where it makes it easier to walk. Yeah, I mean, that sounds crazy, but that's one of the many things that's happening, and I have nothing to do with it. I'd have never thought I needed to walk better, you know. I'd have never thought that was not a thought in my head. I never said I have a problem walking. I never had a problem walking. You know, I thought everybody walked. So, yeah, and then it's weird how your brain knows how your body's supposed to function, and then when it starts opening up and working, you know, fully, it starts telling your body what to do. You don't even have anything to do with it. It's like you're going, wow, that's amazing. Okay, and your body starts doing it, and your feet start doing it, and you're like going, how did I do that? I wasn't trained, but your brain knew and has a perfect balance for your body to function and work in. And so it just takes over, and it fixed it. It's really wild. It's kind of hard to explain, yeah.
So were you like a heel walk? Did you walk on your toes, or you just never paid attention?
I just walk. You know, I'm not paying attention. But what happened was, it just happened the last few days. I found myself walking on my full foot. I didn't know I didn't walk my full foot. It's hard to explain. But something's telling my foot to, when I walk, to walk this, you know, I can't explain it. It's unexplainable. But it just starts, I'm going like, oh my gosh. You know, and I can tell my walk is more cool. Like, I got a cool walk now. Like, oh, yeah, there you go. You know, and it's not that I'm trying to be cool. It's that my brain is showing me how to walk, maybe like Adam and Eve walked before they sinned, and the brain, you know, I don't know. I can't, I have no explanation
for
it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. That is, because I wear the heel of my shoes out, and I'd be wondering, God, how do I wear both heels of my shoes out? Because I don't know if I walk on my heel, or I don't know. I just know I walk on both my heels. But I'm on the concrete a lot, in and out every day. But
yeah. And you know that because you're wearing the heel out on your shoes. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because I think I've had a problem with some of that too. I don't know exactly what I walk on, but okay, there's a good example right there. So what if all of a sudden your brain started developing 100% and you find yourself, you go buy a new pair of shoes and you're thinking like, okay, I'll probably wear the heels out in probably 6 months, so I'll be back to buy some new ones. 6 months later, you come back and you said, man, I don't know, my brain started telling my feet how to work differently, and now I don't do that anymore. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my feet, when I was born, my feet were kind of, I had to wear corrective shoes, even as a child for a little while. But, you know, my feet, they're not crooked or anything. I mean, I look, like you say, I'll catch myself walking a certain way sometimes. And I'll look at my feet, and I'll straighten them up a little bit when I see myself walking in the mirror. But if I don't see myself walking, like you say, I just get up and go and walk, you know. But if I see myself like a reflection, if I'm walking in the store and I see my feet, you know, some days I see them walking really straight. And some days, you know, I'm just like, oh, I need to straighten my foot up. So.
Yeah, you know where that's at, girl? That's in your brain. That's in our brain.
Yeah,
our brain.
Your
brain, it's not that you have a bad brain. You know, I'm not saying you have a bad brain. Mm-hmm. You know, but we don't have our full brain working. That's obvious.
Right.
So my point is that whatever thing, you know, you're walking with your, walking like that, it's not going to hurt anything. You know, it's not like a big deal, but it's like what's happening with me is everything my brain is teaching me how to do is making my life easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So what's happening is, like my walk, I'm realizing that now I'm walking more balanced in my walk, which I didn't know I was off balance. And, you know, I've always been an athlete. I've always done, you know, running and, you know, that kind of thing. Never thought I had a problem with my walking there. Didn't even think about it. Wasn't even a question in my head. Change the way you walk, Chandler. I walk just fine, thank you. But my brain just did it, and I knew what was going on. I don't know. I didn't understand why. But I realized, you know, like I'm explaining to you something that I didn't even have a clue that my brain did. You know, never thought about it. So everything, our brain regulates everything and tells our body what to do. And if it has some kind of a, you know, not a defect like some bad thing, but just some kind of a minor thing, it'll affect a part of our body.
All right. That makes sense. It's just the headquarters.
It's so, the headquarters, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense. But
we were talking with Angie last night. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
No, I'm just talking. I'm just talking. Angie last night was talking about when her brain got healed. Before her brain got healed, because she had an accident, a car accident. I don't know if you ever heard her testimony.
Yeah,
she was in a car accident. Yeah, banged her head, and from then on, you know, her eye drooled. She drooled. She said she drooled. Her eye was slow, and one of her legs, she would drag her leg along when she walked. And we're like, wow. She said, but Randy, what happened was when God healed my leg, it wasn't my leg he healed. He healed my brain. And when God healed my brain, all of a sudden I felt electricity shoot from my head down to my foot, and my leg started working just like that. And she told me that testimony years ago. I'm going like, okay, that's interesting. And that's one of the first times I realized about the brain. But I said, girl, that wasn't the Holy Ghost power that was shooting through your leg. That was your brain. God, the Holy Ghost healed your brain. And then when your brain was healed, all of a sudden, now it could shoot power to your leg. It wasn't Holy Ghost power, because, you know, we always think, yeah, I felt the Holy Ghost shooting to my leg. I go, well, that can happen for sure. I'm not saying that it happened. But with her, the Lord told me, he said, Randy, don't misunderstand this. That wasn't the Holy Ghost shooting to her leg. The Holy Ghost healed her brain. And when her brain got healed that was damaged, all of a sudden, her brain could function right, and it starts shooting electricity. Like, okay, leg, you're going to work now because I'm healed. And it shoots power down there, and that leg starts going. She said, Randy, I just started walking normal. I said, oh, my God. It's because your brain got healed. And the damage that happened to you and your leg doing it, and your eye, the same thing, her eye, and she drooled sometimes, drool. Mm-hmm. I'm going like, oh, my God. And as soon as she got healed, in her brain, all of that went away instantly.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
I think we don't need to know the power we have. You know, we don't know until we tap into it like she did.
Right. And what God was showing me with her testimony was that he said, don't misunderstand what happened. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. Cause I always say, I hear people say the Holy Ghost power shot down my leg. And I've heard that for years, or down my arm or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've had it happen to me. So I'm going like, I can relate to that. And the Lord said, that was not what went on, Randy. Let me explain it to you specifically. I'm going like, I'm sorry, man. I thought it was the Holy Ghost. He said, no, it was the Holy Spirit healed her brain, and then the electrical part of her brain was working and could shoot the power for her leg to walk correctly. So it was the electrical power from her brain after God healed her that caused that power surge to go through her. I went, and he was telling me that for a reason, Angela, because what he was trying to, he was preparing me for what he's going to teach me up later on about the brain. You see what I'm saying? And that got my attention. I'm going like, okay, that's different. That's definitely different than what I thought. And he started, then I saw the movie about, where the guy took the clear pill and he used 100% of his brain. He wrote his books and couldn't write a book before that. And all of a sudden he's doing everything. He becomes really smart. And then God says, Matthew 13, I'm going to show you how to get 100% understanding. I'm going like, okay. Like, whatever you say, man. Yeah, we can do that.
I
started doing my brain thing. Yeah.
Right, because I think the brain, now that you said that, because last week I was like really tired. I was on my job and I was like, I wanted to go get some fish, right? So I was like, I don't feel like driving over there when I leave out here today. I just want to go home and just rest. I said, I'm just tired. I'm not going. Now, Randy, I promise you, I think, like you just said something about, I didn't feel any power or anything, but like I just had a burst of energy. And I said, I'm going to go head over here when I get off. Because I was really feeling like lethargic, like I'm not going. All the way up to the time we locked the doors. And I was like, I feel like going over there now for some reason. I'm like, God, I don't feel like driving across town. But next thing I know, I had this energy. And I just went on over there and did what I had to do and came home, and I still had energy. So I knew, it was, like you say, I don't know, a surge maybe. But I was really tired. I was not planning to drive all the way across town for some fish. But somehow the energy just came. And I was like, wow. And God, thank you. I said, I don't know where that came from, because I was just like, I'm going home to take a nap. And so, So I think, we ask and we don't tap into it. And we think like when you tell yourself I'm tired or I don't feel like it, your body creates that, unless you go to the source. Say, God, I don't want to do this, but give me the energy. But I've done it many times, not even thinking about it, but and next thing I'm up doing whatever I need to do. And so
how we think and of course it's how we believe it. We can think all kinds of things, but when you actually believe what you think, then really there's real power with that. But just thinking something itself I don't think is a big deal, but it's when we start believing what we're thinking that can really mess with us. So if we start, believing that, then we, so your brain, we don't realize that the brain is so powerful that it runs everything, that if we're not feeding it and taking care of it, then what happens is that we get, weak and tired and whatever, like you said, so it's
right.
The revelation that's really coming to me. And after the confirmation of what happened on the Daystar Network, where that guy came up with that invention, and all of a sudden people's brain, it's like there's just something going on with God giving people things about the brain, which I'm one of those. So it was confirmation to me and just really put a new energetic thing inside me about this. Let's just take this to the new level. And if this is a God thing, this is a God thing. Look at all the things that happen with the brain right now. I mean, when I saw that on Daystar, I'm going like, Daystar, even Daystar? Some guy on there had an invention, and I got to see this. And it really was working for people because they're getting their brain you know, back to working normal. And then they start sleeping. They quit wanting to do drugs, you know, all because they got their brain balanced out.
Miracle.
It's miraculous.
It is.
Yeah. And so to you know, God's really teaching us about the full dimension of our bodies and how he made them. He made our brain to heal itself. That's one thing they talked about, which I kind of had found out. Your brain is made to fix your body. Your brain does that. And and God made it like that. In other words, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost made our brain to fix ourselves. So if the Holy Ghost the Holy Ghost doesn't heal our leg, he heals our brain. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of as an example.
Mm-hmm.
When he heals your brain, all of a sudden your foot starts working. Why?
Right.
Because your brain runs your foot. You know, unless of course you can have a broken foot. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually break
right.
your foot, that's a whole different deal. But you know, but as far as something not working internally, it's you know, your brain 99% of the time. So to get the brain to function on to focus on the brain and how to get the brain working has been I've been obsessed with it for a year, for at least a year now. And
right.
now that I got the results, and now I'm getting this confirmation from like on Daystar last night, I'm going, dear God, we're going to take this thing to the next level, man. It's going to be awful.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be. Everybody want help for the brain. You got to, you know, need focus and help with clarity and, like you said, organization. I mean, I could use all that myself. You're better at it. But,
yeah.
So yeah, and you got your own formula that you say you're going to, God's giving you.
Yeah, the formula thing is good. I mean, it is definitely part of it. But the brain thing that I do, like, is his thing. He tells people how to eat and take care of themselves. But if they don't take the brainwave thing that he has, it doesn't really fix much. You know, so the health part of it is very important. It is definitely part of it, because once you get your brain working, you want to keep your brain working by feeding it, you know, giving it food. So the food that we eat, so it's all part of it. Like my drink and all that stuff I'm doing is basically to activate the brain, open up the blood vessel in the brain so it can get food and come alive and start thinking.
Right.
And so, because I used to think that people who were organized just had the gift of organization, and I didn't have that gift. That's how I kind of put, okay. Like Julie has the gift of organizing. You know, she said that she had it. She's always been an organizer. You know, she said, how come you making such a mess? You know, you know, women are, you know, your wife. You know, how come you do this? What are you doing? And she loves fixing and organizing like that. I said, yeah, I know.
Right.
I can't do it. You can. Good job. All right. Okay. I got other things I can do. I can prophesy and I can't sing, but I can do other things. Okay. So you're an organizer. Awesome. She says, yep, I sure am. So I thought it was a gift that people had, right? Instead, now I'm finding out that maybe that's not what's really going on. It's not really a gift. It's something, it's a part of your brain that when it starts working, you know, all of a sudden you are start organizing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, normally,
yeah.
Like natural, like it's not a big deal. Like it's not hard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
All right.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Anything else going on? What do you want? Anything you want to talk about before I move on here and kind of what's up? You came home and started writing today. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I didn't hear you.
I said you came home and started writing today. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Started writing that, and that took a little break for a minute, but my God, you help me start writing again. I'll write what you want me to write, because, you know, I got some stuff I've written, but I want to put it all on my. Sometimes I like to handwrite, and some days I'll put it on my computer. I just get on there and start typing, but sometimes I'll handwrite stuff, which I like to do more, pen to paper. But,
oh, okay. You're a pen to paper person, right. I'm not, because I write so horrible. I write stuff and I can't read it.
Yeah, that happens to me too. You know, I could go back and read it, and it'll pick back up, you know, whatever it is. But pen to paper, I like that most, the best.
Awesome. I like talking into my phone, speaking into my phone. I turn the speaker thing on and I talk into it, and I talk. You have to talk really clear and plain, but it just starts, you know, putting down everything you're saying. I like that. I get to where I like to do that more than I do anything. Yeah, because then I don't have to, you you know, do that anymore. I just say, I just talk, and it goes right into it.
Right. Yeah, that's helpful.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I really love that. I really enjoy that part of mine. I do that at 3 o'clock in the morning. I get a word, and I'm half asleep, and I'm going, okay, you know, the river shall flow by noon tomorrow or something. And I'll speak it into my phone instead of trying to type it out at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a lot easier.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And I don't have to see the screen. I just know I got to speak plain and make sure I have the thing on when I do it. Like, hello, this is Randy, and I got a word at 3 a.m. in the morning. The river will dry up by tomorrow at 3:30. Okay, and I got it on there that I can turn around and go back to sleep again, knowing that
okay.
I got it without having to wake
right.
up and type everything in.
Right, right. I hear you. Okay, well, thank you so much, Prophet Rain. I do want to ask you if you could, you know, I have some kind of, annoying neighbors. Yeah, and, you know, I'm dealing with, I had to actually go to the police station Sunday. I prefer they would leave, but, you know, they've smoked some stuff I don't like. And it comes over to my place, and they, I guess they must have got upset with me. So I told my landlord about it, and I guess he did talk to him because I don't smell the smoke. But however, they took revenge, and they slashed my tire. And so I'm sure they did it, but I went on to the police station, you know, did a report and everything. But personally, I just want them gone, but I don't know. The police officer, he was like, well, your landlord will have to, you know, do that. But he said, I don't want to. They're going to wait, but they're still going to question them and stuff, which is fine with me. I just want to have it on file that they gutted my tire. And so,
right.
You know, but I went
it
ahead.
It also helps your insurance,
you know,
too, when you file a police report. Yeah, you know, your insurance on that. It helps, too. But
I didn't. You say what now?
It helps when you fill out a police report. When you fill out a police report, you know, then you can, your insurance can take care of it, too. I had the same thing. I had some people mess with my tires a couple of weeks ago. They didn't cut my tire, but they cut the little stem, you know, where you air up the tire. They cut it around the rubber part of it, and it leaked out real slow. Yeah, they cut it.
Oh, wow.
Because I went to get it fixed, and they said, that's been cut with a knife, sir. I went,
why?
Right. He fixed it. I said, you didn't fix it very well because it's leaking. He said, no, sir, that's a knife. I went, yeah, I know he did that. I had the same,
same
kind of thing. It finally went away, but it was a pain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It cost you money and time.
That, because it took all day for my friend. He came and helped me, but I heard it when I was pulling out my driveway. It was like a hissing sound. Like, I'm like, did I hit the curb? And by the time I got to where I was going, it was like flash. I know who did this. I said, I know who did this. It was gutted. So I was like, oh yeah. And then I got really mad. And then, but I went ahead and just, you know, like I said, went to the police station and filed a report and stuff. And, you know, so, like I can hear them now with their loudness.
Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah.
Let's pray for wisdom on how to fix all that. Yeah, I had to do the same thing that I had somebody. They get vindictive if they're in your neighborhood and you, you know, like I threw some trash in a certain trash can. I had the right to do it. It was my, you know, part of my thing. And for some reason, I don't know what made them mad about that, but if he kind of runs the trash can thing in that area and like he got mad and, you know, I know he did it. And it's crazy. Yeah. All right. Let's pray about that. And pray about for your new writing stuff going on that God show you how to, you know, take you to a new level in your writing. And that'd be cool.
Yes.
All right, Angel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Enjoyed it. All right,
okay.
So I'm going to mute you, and we'll pray for you. Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, and thank you, Lord, for that and that situation she has going on with the aggravation of the neighbors or whatever it is. And then, you know, it's that's what happens. Anytime you confront something, you risk that. Every time I've ever confronted anything, you know, first thing I ask myself is, are you willing to pay the price for that? That you might pay. Some people will slice your tire. Some people do other things, you know. I've had different things happen with me. So thank you, Jesus, for that. So give her wisdom on how to, you know, if it's possible at all to settle that or get it fixed or whatever. And so, you know, they know it's going to cost you money. when they cut your tire, that's going to cause you trouble and money and time. And that's like, they're going to say that. So that's really, you know, wow. So in Jesus' name, I take authority over that devil in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to give Angela wisdom, God, on how to disarm it and how to solve the problem with the smoke and whatever else is going on. And, you know, be friendly with the natives or the neighbors, whatever you call them, the natives, the neighbors, you know, the people, you know, whatever. And so we thank you, Jesus, for that. And sometimes neighbors act like natives sometimes. I've had a few that, you know, if you don't do everything just right, you better watch it because they go mess with you a little bit, pay you back. And then once they feel like they paid you back, it's over sometimes, but, you know, it's like a warning. Thank you for the wisdom you've given her, Jesus. And we speak peace to that situation, Father. And thank you, Lord, for showing her how to fix it, how to, if it's possible. I know it's possible to bring the peace, but bring that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And her new writing stuff she's doing, God, oh, my. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Open that up. Bless her. Give her, you know, let her creative skills and her writing skills move to a whole other level. In Jesus' name, bless that. Anoint that with the Holy Ghost, God, and increase that and multiply that. And let her be like a scribe. You know, a scribe is a person who becomes an official person who writes things. Right, so a scribe. Let's see what a scribe is real quick. I know what one is, but let's look see what the description is. Scribe. A scribe. Exact. Scribe. Wait a minute. Let's spell scrub, not scribe. Scribe. Scribe definition. All right, kind of scribe. Scribe is a person who copies out documents, especially one employed to do this before printing was invented. All right. An ancient Jewish record keeper, or later a professional theologian or jurist. That's what it's talking about, a scribe. Historical scribe. Yeah. Literary. To write, to scribe a note that he passed to the person. Yeah. So a scribe is somebody who is employed to make written copies of documents or document things. Yeah. Scribes, and you know, they wrote things down. A lot of the Bible is written because of them. Some of it. Yeah. Anyway, I don't understand the scribe thing exactly, but cool. Really, really awesome. All right. Thank you very much, Angela. Appreciate you. Thank you. All right. 614-213, Hematocracy Company.
Hello, Randy. It's Gary Wolf from Australia.
No way, man. I hear a baby in the background.
Yeah.
You've had that baby for a couple of years now, right? Maybe a year and a half?
Yeah, she's 20 months old. You want to say
Wow.
hello, Lily?
Yes, hello. What's her name?
Lily.
What's her name? Louis?
Lily.
Lily. Hi.
You going to say hello? She's playing with dolls at the moment.
Lily, I want to play with the doll. Can you let me play with your dolly?
She's putting the doll on the phone now.
Oh, okay. There you go. So she's... Hello, Dolly. What's the Dolly's name? What's your name, Dolly?
Dolly got a name.
Trying to say, was it?
Wrong.
Miss Dolly? Oh.
She's trying to say something, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, I think I communicate.
Oh. Is that the doll's name?
Honey?
Daddy.
What is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
She doesn't.
Oh, I like that. I like that name. That's a beautiful name. She's pretty little baby doll. Yeah. Hi, Dolly. You like Dolly? Do you like Lily? Does Lily like you? You like Lily and Lily like you? Dolly?
She keeps putting the dolls on the phone.
Yeah, because she's trying to talk to me through the doll. That's
yeah.
Good. That's a good sign. I'm hitting it right on the head tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, I love Dolly. I love Dolly. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Dollies can be your best friend sometime. Yeah.
How you been, Randy? I haven't talked to you for a long time.
I've been doing pretty good. Just we've been going at it. Just I quit playing with dolls. Now I don't play with dolls anymore, but now that I've got her on the phone, it makes me want to. But, yeah. Anyway, doing pretty good. Just, going at it. We have been watching the Gaza War happen. We, kind of think that something's going on there possibly that could be major. The Sunnis and the Shiite Muslims got together. That was a big thing. Yeah, that was a really big thing. Yeah, that was a hot item. So I don't know as far as that kind of stuff goes, but other than that, how are you been doing? It's been a long time. It's been a while. I think since you had her, we haven't talked to you since you had her. 20 months.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy with Lily. Yeah,
I bet.
But mum works and I'm the stay-at-home dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's nice.
Yeah. And then occasionally mum will take her to, Amelia will take her to work. So that's good too.
Yeah. Aw, a baby. Well, that'd be good. You'll remember that. That's a good thing to, she may not remember all that, but she might, who knows? That dad took care of her. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
Trying to be a good dad.
Yeah. That takes work.
Yep.
It takes Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because with kids, you're not in control of...
She likes praying now.
Oh, she does like praying?
Yeah, she loves saying amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Lily, and thank you for Dolly. Thank you for Daddy, and thank you for Emily, Mommy. Amen.
Say amen. Amen. She said amen.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that, but she said amen.
Yeah, I could hear something, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
A real little prayer warrior. My name is Randy. My name is Randy, and your name is Lily. And your Dolly's name is Dolly, or whatever, Molly. Dolly the mom, Molly the Dolly. Yeah, I've been doing pretty good. Just been going at it, trying to, trying to just hear from the Lord and help, try to help encourage people. Basically, that's about it.
Yeah.
She's getting excited
that's
now.
That's good. You're still doing that. It's great to hear.
Yeah, we're still at it, and we have a lot going on with the Israel thing. I've known that I'm going to be a part of prophesying over Israel for many years, and that. So, anyway, it takes too long to explain all that, but
yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, anyway,
if you have any literature. Or writing that you've done, I'd like to read it if I could.
Well, I just do audio. I don't really do much literature. We do audio stuff. Like our shows. We have our shows that we do, and we do audio. But I don't really do literature yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start.
Maybe that'll come. That might come, Randy.
Yeah, that would be cool. I do keep up with, I do document information. I do document words. I document things. So I write that. But as far as writing, I don't know, writing teaching, you know, I don't know about that one, but.
Documenting's good.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We document things. I've been doing it for quite a few years. I made a habit of it where I keep up with things pretty well. Because in my business, what I do, you know, like when they wrote the Bible, you know, they needed proof that you said it, you know, 3 months ago before it happened, 3 months later. So
yeah,
it's good to have proof because we have audio proof these days. Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. Very good.
Yeah. So, what have you been? You've been able. Of course, raising a baby takes all your time. So, I can imagine that's about what you've been doing.
Yeah, that's mostly it. I've been still going to church, and it's been a slow process. But he's been waiting to be able to talk, and I've spoken a couple of times now. I did a communion message. About 2 months ago. So I haven't spoken publicly for about 8 years.
Oh, okay.
In front of the church, that was good. And then
right.
I get to do the sermon in a few weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about?
Intimacy with God.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So at the moment, I think I'll cover who God is. And I might bring our identity into that.
Right.
And
awesome.
I've got a few things in my mind praying about.
Yeah.
So who God is, who we are, and how he can talk to us.
Right, right. And then
we're made
to talk with God. I think. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. We're made to talk to God. That's how he's made us, for intimacy. And out of intimacy, all things flow.
Right, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been talking lately about about the brain and how the brain, God made the brain. When he made our brain, God made our brains, right? So he made our brains to do what? To understand him, to process him. You know, our brain's a big processor, and it processes information about what? About God and about everything, about the trees, you know, the dirt, the life itself. You know, he made our brain to process him and everything that he's made. That's what knowledge is everything about God. So our brain has been made. Anyway, I've kind of been into the brain thing lately, so that's cool, to communicate.
Yeah.
We're made for that.
It's interesting about the brain because my wife's a physiotherapist, and she deals with a lot of people with pain.
Uh-huh.
So she talks about pain management, but there's a lot that goes on in the brain to do with pain in the body because of all the I don't know how it works. The neurons and neuroelasticity in the brain and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true because the brain runs everything. If you got pain, usually it's in your brain most of the time.
Yeah. Even if the pain is, there can be like a phantom pain where it's not actually. It's still in your brain. It's healed. The thing is healed physically, but you still got pain, and that's because of the brain. The brain hasn't made the connection yet that it's healed. Yeah.
I believe that. And if the brain's not connecting and communicating, then it can't finish the job. The brain is really made to heal itself. But if it's not communicating correctly, then it can't do that. So the pain stays there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've been working on a brain thing
for
the last year, so I'm really into that right now.
Cool. Even with the transforming of your mind, Now, when Paul talks about the transforming of your mind, when it comes back to identity, it's to do with the brain and the neurons in your brain firing properly to make the connections in your brain and in your mind.
Right.
God's created
I agree.
God's created us like that. It's quite amazing, really. So people with trauma, like I do believe there's a spirit of trauma behind something when you've had trauma in the past because of being delivered of a few things because of the spirit of trauma. The trauma affects the brain, the things in the brain.
Right.
Pretty
crazy.
That
is correct. That is, yeah. It's amazing. You wouldn't think that, but yeah. Not everything's a demon.
Yeah.
Not everything's a, you know, it can be a demon, of course. It can be multiple things. But if the brain doesn't get fixed, then that demon just comes back. Because if the brain's not healed, then it's not communicating correctly. And therefore, if you're not communicating, then the enemy communicates and works his way back into things if the brain's not finalized.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty. I love the way God's created us.
Yeah.
But
I have to say, though, I don't think I realized how important the brain was. I mean, everybody knows the brain's important, but I don't think I realized all the different things that it does and why God gave us the brain and how it functions and runs everything. So if it's not running correctly, if you're not feeding it what it needs, like giving it the food that it needs, you know, the proper diet, then your brain, it kind of goes to sleep. It quits working. You know, if you're not going to feed me, what happens when you don't eat? You go to sleep, you get, you know, lethargic.
Yep. Yeah, I've got to look after it.
Yeah,
and even the gut apparently is connected to the brain.
Yes, big time.
Gut health stuff, yeah. That needs that good nutrients and stuff.
Yeah, that really is. The gut, the food thing is really important. If we're not getting blood to our brain, you know, and when the blood goes to our brain, what's the blood carrying? A bunch of sugar? Is it carrying a bunch of things that are going to make it go to sleep or make it, you know, not be healthy? You know, it's amazing how when God created all the trees, he kept telling Adam and Eve, if you read Genesis, you see the first couple of chapters, he's telling them what they can eat. It's all about eating. Okay, you can eat this and eat that and eat that over there. Don't eat this. Don't eat this. Don't eat from that tree. But you can eat from all the other trees. And it's all about eating. So even eating,
with
eating with the glory on you is important. Having a glorified body.
That's great. That's great. I quit sugar 8 months ago.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah, like I'm not, like, what's the word? Occasionally, you know, I might have some sausages from the supermarket and they might have a little bit of sugar in it. But, you know, I'm not going down when we go shopping, and if the chocolates are on special, we used to buy them, but I don't do that anymore.
But it's not like a habit.
Or
like
I'm
a,
not.
Like a, 90% you're off of it. That's awesome.
Yeah, and like we don't buy ice cream, make our homemade stuff. It's got coffee and cane sugar, so we'll have, honey instead.
Yes, that's what I do too. I trade a lot of my sugar stuff for honey, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have, one of my favorite things is that when I have a sweet tooth going on is I have honey on bread with butter and toast. I make toast, honey toast. Oh, man, it's like awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's getting excited, man.
A nice one. are you walking, Lily? Walking? Yeah? Where are you walking to? Oh. do you like mango?
I used to eat mangoes all the time. Yeah, I haven't ate mangoes in a while, but I love mangoes, yeah.
Yeah, so what we do for ice cream or like a sorbet is get mango, frozen mango in your packet, frozen mango, just 100%, no additives or anything. And then coconut cream, a can of coconut, so 500 grams of frozen mango or 700 grams of frozen mango, one can of coconut cream, and a good dollop of honey. Put it in the mixer. Delicious.
Okay, that's frozen mango and then coconut cream. What do you mean coconut cream? What is that? I don't know what that is.
You can get it. Well, we can get it here in Australia. I don't know about over there, but it just comes in a can, coconut cream.
Okay, coconut cream. I don't guess I know what that is. I have to check that out. Sounds pretty good. Is it sweet?
Some people
mango's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so some people are against coconut cream, but other people are like, no, it's really healthy, it's really good for the brain, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we just have it occasionally. And then a dessert spoon of honey.
Okay. Yeah, here's my biggest sin, man. Here's my big sin, I confess all the time on the show. I have ice cream one day a week, and that's it. I have my day that I eat ice cream, because I love ice cream, so I quit having to eat it every day, and I eat it once a week. And believe it or not, I'm able to do that. So it's kind of miraculous, but I love it, man. That one day a week, man, I'm like going, oh man, let's get some ice cream. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. But once I do it that one day, that's it. I wait 7 days before I have it again.
Yeah. Daddy, come. Where are we going, Lily?
No.
Oh. Yes. Sorry, Grant. You're a bit noisy here. Times.
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. So what's going on in Australia? What's Australia like spiritually? I mean, what's the overall atmosphere? Is it anything going on in Australia that people can find out about?
I think with COVID, I was quite shocked how much fear was spread. And I was surprised that Christian people I shouldn't judge, but I was just surprised how many people follow the media. So I think a lot of fear was brought in with COVID in Australia. A lot of fear, and then they ramped it up on the media, like ramped it real. I don't know. That's the word I use. Ramped it real hard on the media. They pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed COVID. Don't go outside. You know.
Right.
You've got to have your distancing. Blah, blah, blah. It was pushed so much. I just saw a spirit of fear behind it. And.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was really shocked at how many people just followed along with.
It revealed a weak spot. What that stuff did is it revealed a weak spot in people that they didn't know they had, I think, and a fear. When it comes to you dying or your physical body getting sick and something getting out of control, that kind of freaks some people out.
The people I talked to were so scared. I was quite saddened, actually, to be honest. It's like a grieving in my spirit when it happened, because I just thought, I don't want to be proud or anything, but I thought, God, I'm like, what's it say in the Bible? Perfect love casts out fear. I just seen behind it when I was looking at the media. I'm like, even, you know, family members.
Yeah.
Asking if I'd been vaccinated and make sure you have your vaccination. I'm not totally against vaccinating, but
I don't get vaccinated. Yeah, I don't believe it myself. I have friends who get vaccinated, but. Yeah, I personally don't, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't push that on anyone, but people were pushing it on me.
Exactly,
I just, because of the majority of the people that I talked to, to me, seemed like they were fearful. So there's that fear, discouragement, and then there's another one that was happening. We had a prophet come to the church last weekend, and she was talking about stuff like that in Australia. And she said around the world, actually.
About the fear, you mean? And the whole
fear. Yeah, the fear, spirit of fear, spirit of discouragement. And there was one more, and I'm like, oh, you're exactly right. I can't remember the last one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Hamas,
a lot of people have woken up now, though. There's quite a few people in Australia have woken up to what was going on.
Okay.
They're a bit more aware now. A bit more aware. Yeah, as in you don't need 5 vaccines. Why have 5 shots?
Right. Yeah, it was a big deal. That was global. That was a global thing. I think the fear penetrated because it was global. I think that's what made it really, really bad. And of course, like you said, the media just pumped it up and, you know. And I had a friend of mine who was a good Christian guy, and he almost died over it. I mean, literally, he was in the death cycle of it. And was dying and cried out to God, and God raised him up. I mean, he wrote a book about it. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you put, sorry, Randy, can you put me on mute for a little bit? I've just got the wife ringing in.
You're going to put me on mute?
Oh, no. Can you put me on mute? I just had the wife ring. I better ring it back.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I guess what you're talking about, put you on mute. Is that what you mean? You mean put you on mute like that? Okay, put him on mute. All right, I don't know what's going on with him about that, but pretty cool. I got Gary from Australia on tonight. Good to hear from him. I haven't heard from him since he had that baby like 20 months ago. Wow, really nice to hear from him. And we'll get him back on here in a minute, I think. But let's take another caller. Let me see if he's back on there. I couldn't understand what he was saying. Okay, do you want me to leave you muted, or what's going on? Okay, I guess so. All right, let's take another caller here, and we'll wait for him to come back. All right, 954-580, who would talk to Bruce Company?
Hello, this is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Carolyn from Jamaica. So we're hearing from Australia tonight and Jamaica. That's awesome. All right, Caroline, let's pray for you. All right, good to hear from you tonight. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Caroline tonight. Thank you, Lord, for my sister, God. We thank you, Lord, for every fear that tries to invade her life and come against her through people and through circumstances and whatever the fears are. We just take authority over them in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We stand with her on that. Sometimes we have a fear that nothing's ever going to happen. We have a fear that only bad things can happen. All kinds of fears try to come upon us, and the enemy tries to get us in fear, because it says in the last days, the thing that's going to be prominent across the globe is going to be fear. And we were just talking about that with Gary about how fear is predominant, you know, in the end times, because it says people are going to die of heart attacks. You know, they're going to die because of fear, heart failure. So we thank you, Lord, that as you raise us up, as you raise my sister up, and you raise me up, and Gary up, and others up, God, we're going to watch each other's back. That fear doesn't come in and invade somebody and try to mess with them, try to take them down, try to mess up their life for a while. And so we thank you, Jesus, for Caroline. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith in her. God, that she has the spirit of faith. She has the spirit of hope. Yes, that she's a dreamer. I thank you, Lord, for the dreamer side of her to awaken and come forth, that the dreamer inside of her arise and move forward in Jesus' name, and that she begins to develop that dreaming, the dreams of God, that when God dreams, he doesn't bring us the fear of the world. He brings us the reverential fear and awe of God. But that reverential fear in all of God keeps us from fearing anything that the enemy can do. And I thank you, Lord, for pouring out the spirit of the reverential fear in all of God upon her life. God, where she will, when the enemy tries to attack in whatever way, whether it's globally, through TV, through friends, through enemies, through whatever, that she will have a spinal cord, Father, from the Holy Ghost. And God, she will reverential fear only one fear, one person, and that's the reverential fear in all of God. Everything else, she will not fear. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Fill her with faith, God. In Jesus' name, pour your spirit out of her, God, and ignite her faith, God, in a whole other area so she can break loose and move forward in Jesus' name. I speak over you. You're going to break forth and move forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come forth, Carolina. Come forth in Jesus' name. I loosen you to come forth to that new place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To the place of confidence in God, to a place of freedom in God, to a place of where you have the love you need and the love you want and the money you need that will come forth in the provision from the Father in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Caroline, anything we can pray with you about tonight? Caroline, how are you doing tonight? I'm having a hard time hearing you. Are you hitting me on speakerphone? I'm having a hard time hearing you, Caroline. I'm sorry. I apologize. There you go. Thank you. Go ahead and say that again, please, if you would.
Okay. I'm praying about a few things and as having some decisions to make. Just kind of pray. Agree with me that, you know, if it's God's will that I will be able to accomplish all that I plan and God will grant me favor in the things that I will step out into. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that favor. Thank you, Lord, for the provision that she needs, God, and for the teaming up that she's going to team up with people. Team up in Jesus' name and open up her mind, her heart to teaming up, to being a part of the team that you called her to be a part of, God, whatever that is, in Jesus' name, and prosper her, God, and bless her. That she will find her niche, she will find that thing, that place, and fit in and be happy and free. And if she does have battles, she works through her battles easier and more powerfully because she's free. In Jesus' name, freer and freer and freer. Right? Amen. For that place where she fits in, God, in her life, in Jesus' name. Like never before, Father. Hallelujah. All right. So you.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else you want to share or talk about?
No, thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Let me see if Gary on here so he can see. From Australia. Are you back on yet, man?
Yeah.
Australian, my Australian
still
friend.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you
can
want
you
to pray
me?
For. Yes, I have a friend from Jamaica
Carol
here on the line, and if you want to pray for her, you can do that. If you don't, unless you, if you don't have anything, it's okay.
Is that Caroline?
Caroline, right? Yes, Caroline.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll just see. I'll just pray. Father God, I thank you for Caroline. I just sense, Caroline, you've got a real soft nature about yourself. Lord, I pray that you would use that soft nature in the name of Jesus. You're already using it, but I ask God that you use it more, Lord. Caroline, I just see you giving to people and like presents, but it's presents as in, as you, like a present at the Christmas tree. And I just see love in that present. So I see you giving love to other people, Lord. I thank you that Caroline is a lady full of your love, God. I thank you that she wants the best for other people just as she wants the best for herself. And, Lord, I pray that you would enlarge your territory, God. Enlarge your territory. Enlarge those boundary lines, Lord. I encourage you, Caroline, to have a look at the prayer of Jabez and to keep praying that over yourself and to keep praying it over other people. And I also sense that the Lord delights in you as you delight yourself in him. Thanks, Randy.
Hey, yeah. All right, Caroline. There you go.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for praying.
All right.
Perfect, Randy. God bless you.
Uh-huh. And Gary, yeah. Okay, awesome. All right, Caroline, good to hear from you.
God bless you both. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Thanks, Randy.
Hey, man.
Tag, you're
what's
it.
Going on? Hey, no, Tag, you're it.
I haven't tagged for a while with you, so it's good.
Yeah, kind of fun. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like stepping out. You know, sometimes just some people think they got to prophesy. They got to like start prophesying. I just start praying, and when I'm praying, I start prophesying. I don't realize what's going on. You know, you just pray with somebody, and then all of a sudden you get information. It's really easy, but it's not if you're not used to it. Some people don't understand it, but let me hang on a second. Let me get somebody else here. Hang on a second. I hear your baby doll in the background. All right, 334-403. You there?
Yeah, it's Sonya.
Hey, Sonya.
Hey.
All right.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Hang on a second. Let me ask Gary. I'm going to ask Gary to pray over you.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, why don't you? Huh?
Okay.
Okay. Hang on a second. I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm in your background noise. All right, Gary. This is a friend named Sonya from Alabama. And just pray. If you get anything, get some. If you don't get anything, it's all right. But just if you don't mind praying over her, over Sonya from Alabama.
Sonya or Tanya?
Sonya with the S.
Sonya.
Yes, Sonya. Yes, thank you.
Sonya. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for Sonya. I'll just pray a little bit in tongues here. Thank you, Tanya, that for Sonya that she can you're giving her new spectacles, giving her new glasses, God. Thank you for those glasses. The glasses for insight. To see from a different perspective, God. I thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Got that baby doll, man. She's getting worked up now. She's going for it, baby.
I'll try and put you on mute so you can't hear Lily.
Okay.
I'll put you on mute.
Okay, that's fine.
Well,
okay, Sonya. Yes, how are you doing, Sonya? Good to hear from you. Okay.
I couldn't understand some of what he was saying.
Oh.
I didn't understand what he was saying.
I don't know either. I was responding to texts from other people while he was praying for you, so I don't even know what he prayed over you. But anyway, we can maybe listen to people were texting me, and I was trying to text him back while he was doing that, so I didn't get it either. But I apologize. But yeah, you can listen to the archive maybe and get it from there. But I think it was kind of a quick prayer. I don't think he. I don't know what he said because I was got distracted with the text. Gary, did you? I don't know if he's got anything going on there or not, but he said, "Okay, wait a minute, we got it right here." He said God was giving her new spectacles so she can see things from a new perspective. Oh, that's good.
Oh yeah.
In other words, like glasses, like giving you. Is that right, Gary? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I've seen a picture of. Yeah, and that's the interpretation I got. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we all need that, right? I mean, you're welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we all need to see things differently. I'm always asking God to open my eyes, you know, to show me things from and look at things from a different perspective. Yeah, so that's awesome. I'll take that.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Okay. He said okay in Australian. Okay. I love it. Okay, mate.
Yeah. See you later, mate.
There you go. We're talking Australian all of a sudden. That's pretty cool. So how are you doing, Sonya? What's up?
I had a pastor on that he's my godson, but he had to go to work, and so I tried to text you, my text came back. And so I don't know if I have the right text number. But I'm going to try to get him to come on tomorrow night.
Okay.
He's from He's from Crockett, Texas.
Crockett, okay. Oh, cool. I've heard of Crockett, Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, pray anything that God did. I'll accept it.
All right. Okay. All right, I'm going to mute you, and then we'll just continue to pray a little bit. Thank you, Lord, for signing you, God. We thank you, Lord, for sometimes our perspective on seeing things, like when we look at things through faith. And some, I don't look at everything through faith. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I look at things through trying to figure it out on my own, and, you know, and I'm reading the Bible about it and trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, you know, if it happens, the Lord opens my eyes, and I just see it from a different perspective. Like, and all of a sudden, I just don't worry about it anymore. I don't concern myself with it because I see it, you know, like God saying, it's okay, you know, everything's fine, you're going to be fine. Or, you know, it's not important right now. It's going to be important later, but it's not important. Whatever the thing is, and you start seeing it, and then that anxiety and stress leaves you because you see it from a whole different perspective. So I thank you, Lord, for Sonia, God, and we all need that. We all need that. And I thank you, Lord, for a special endowment upon her, God, a special release in Jesus' name upon her so she can see things from your perspective, like Gary's talking over her, so she can understand things in a whole new light. We think about the same old things the same old way that God showed us something 5 years ago, and we work everything through that level of understanding. And then God wants to take it to a whole other level of understanding, so we start processing things and looking at things. We look at them completely different. So I thank you, Lord, for giving her that brand new perspective, that higher level. God, you take us from glory to glory, and you're taking her from glory to glory, God. Always, she's always seeking you about going up higher, understanding things better, not letting things, you know, disturb her or get her down or try to take her down, but to lift her up before you, Jesus, to raise her up on high, God, to touch her body, to move in her brain. God, we speak over her brain tonight in Jesus' name that her brain be healed. I know she had a stroke, Gary. Over Sonia, she had a stroke. So we thank you, Lord, how much better she's doing all the time. And we thank you, Lord, that's definitely a brain thing. So we thank you, Lord, for her brain. We declare and decree over her brain in the name of Jesus a miraculous event to happen for her, God. Because she loves you, Jesus, and I know she wants to be totally whole because she wants to be used by you. And that's the reason she wants to be whole, is so she can be used by you in a whole kind of way. Amen. Cool, man. All right. That's all my callers with the hand up. Of course, I got Angela with her hand up still. We could, Angela, are you there? She may have gone on, maybe. I don't know. Okay. I think she probably moved on to whatever. And that's the only person I got with their hand up, so I guess everybody else. All right. Hey, Garrett, it's been nice talking to you, man. And talking to your baby doll,
yeah,
hearing her talk and yak away. She's got a high voice.
She's
going high places.
It's a very high
voice. She can send you to high places pretty fast. High place. I'm going to high places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were talking. We were talking last night about the. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say my wife's gone home. Do you want to? Can you share a prophetic word for her?
Absolutely, get her on here. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and pray now. Hang on just a second. I'll be right there. Give me just a second. I'll be right back. Hang on a minute. All right, let's pray for Emily, right? Amelia. Right?
Yeah, hi, Randy.
Hi, Amelia. How are you doing? It's so good to hear from you.
All
right.
Yeah, good to hear you, too.
Yeah, let's pray for you. Thank you for being on with us tonight. I'm going to pray for you, and then we've been talking about the brain tonight, and and that's kind of what was going to want to be my prayer, was about God giving you revelation and understanding about the brain. I'm going to mute you because I can hear that background, and that way I won't because that way you can hear it clearly too. So I'm muting you just for a second. Thank you, Lord, for Amelia. God, we thank you, Jesus, for her life. We thank you, Lord, for her, for the purpose of her life is to heal wounds, to totally transform people's lives. And God, I thank you for the fact that you called me to the brain realm. Also, I've been given supernatural information about the brain, and I've got an invention going on right now that's working really awesome. It's amazing. Really into the brain thing, and we've been talking about that a little bit tonight with Gary. He said you're kind of involved in that stuff, so that kind of connected me with you in a sense that we're really knowing we want to go to the root of issues, the root of problems, and instead of beating around with plucking the fruit off, when we need to go to the root of the thing so that people can be healed, so that people can be transformed and changed forever and come back, you know, 10 years later and go, man, I'm still healed, I'm still blessed. And I thank you, Lord, for the testimony that you're going to bring Amelia, God, and that you're going to bring to her, that the way that with the information that you give her and show her, whether she learns it or you show her personally and dreams and visions and things about the brain, how the brain works, how it functions, and how to unlock things and how to connect things, how to make the brain connect and communicate, so that the way God made the brain, it can cause the body to function properly. People can be emotionally healed, physically healed, start to function as more of a whole being because their brain is being developed and worked the correct way, the root way. They go to the root of the issue instead of the, you know, fix it, and then a few months later it goes back to this old thing. So when God fixes things, he fixes them permanently. And I thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing on her life, God, to go to the root of the issues with the brain, that to the headquarters that God has made, the way that God's made the brain, the way he's made it to heal itself, how do we unlock that, how we develop all that. In Jesus' name, you give her a fresh outpouring of understanding about it, God, and wisdom and knowledge in Jesus' name through dreams and visions, or however you do it, through books, however you do it, God, that you will show her, God, because she's on a pathway to bring breakthroughs in the brain realm in Jesus' name, and discovering things that will literally change people's lives and bring true results instead of temporary results, permanent results, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And, amen. All right.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Anything we can pray for specifically, or are you doing okay? And that sweet baby doll in the background.
Oh yeah. Lily. I feel a little bit unsettled in myself at the moment, so I just feel like I need to, just spend time with God and get to know him a bit better.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? When we start finding out that the things that we kind of like to do or enjoy, when we find out that God is even more into that than we are, and he wants to show us stuff, that makes us seek God. That makes us want to go say, God, okay, you're really interested in what I'm doing. You're really interested in what I'm called to do. So show me what you want to do about that. And I think he will. And that way it connects you and God to your everyday life, you know, with your family, with your daughter, with your husband, with what you do. And start showing you that he's involved in all that. You know, even when we don't see it, sometimes he has to open our eyes so we can see how he's involved in things, because we don't see it until he helps us. You know, I don't, at least. She's all excited. She put her dolly. She put her dolly up to the phone because I said, "Hey, I want to talk to your dolly." So she puts the dolly up to the phone.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. Oh, awesome! Yeah, thank you so much for your prayers.
You're so welcome. I'm so thankful. Thank you for calling Gary and getting her on the phone with us. I'm glad we did that. That was good timing. We were able to get her on, and she's or get to pray for her. That's really cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, Randy.
All right, you guys, tell that baby doll bye-bye. Lily. Bye.
Say bye.
Bye, Dolly. Amen.
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 She said it one of, she heard one of the prayers that you prayed, and you said amen at the end, and then Lily went, amen.
Oh, woo! Hey, man, there's nothing like having an agreement from a little angel from heaven, right? Yeah. All right, angel baby.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. All right, y'all, I guess that's it for the night. About midnight. Unless somebody else raised their hand. People are falling asleep now, maybe. I don't know what's going on, but we love you guys. And talking to Gary and the whole family, we still thank you, Jesus, for that little baby doll and Amelia. And, yeah, wow, awesome. So good. I haven't heard from them. They just had a Lily when – well, the last time we talked, where he was fixing, they were fixing to have her, and so I haven't heard from him since then. That's been really cool. And she's just a yakking away and amening, and I got some real agreement going on there. I love it. All right, y'all, it's midnight. Nobody else want to talk. Nobody else can call in right now. So we have people there sitting there with that. You don't have your hand up, so if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call it a night. It is Tuesday night. Tomorrow night is when we pray and prophesy over everybody. So if you want to call in, you can call in 15 minutes early at 8:45. You can call in. The system will let you call in at 8:45. And I pray and prophesy over every person that calls in. I don't do any talking. Once they do a little bit of teaching, and then once we start prophesying to people, we just go from one person to the other. We don't spend time talking to anybody. We just go, prophesy to, 20, 30, 40 people a night on Wednesday night. So it just depends on what's going on. But if you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have it. Love to have you, and you can invite anybody from anywhere in the world, and they can call in 15 minutes early or whatever, or get in late. We're there till, 12, 1 o'clock my time, and we'll be there for you. That's what Wednesdays are for now. We changed that, Gary, if you're still listening. We changed Wednesdays to just all we do is pop several people. We don't spend time talking to them. We go from one caller after the other, and one of our favorite nights, so we're so thankful for that. All right, you guys, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's midnight, so all right, at midnight, it's all going to go up and down. It's some song, I can't think of what it is, but anyway, all right, you guys, I guess we'll call it a night tonight. Thank you so much. We will talk to you guys tomorrow night. And tomorrow's Wednesday. So, like I say, we do what we do on Wednesdays. We love it. And then on Thursday, we have communion and prayer with people, prayer with offerings as they come in. So, if you want to be a part of that, you're welcome to. All right, you guys. We love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. So, if you don't raise a hand up here in the next few seconds, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night because midnight is upon us. Once that happens, nobody else can call in anyway. So, it locks the system down. All right, give it a minute here. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. It's midnight. It is midnight here in about 30 seconds. All right, God bless everybody. We will talk to you later. Bye.